Notorious serial killer Ivan Milat has died. The 74-year-old died from natural causes at Sydney's Long Bay Hospital. He was sentenced to life in prison in 1996 for the murders of seven backpackers whose bodies were found in the Belanglow State Forest. The government will increase the amount of people granted regional migrant visas every year from 23,000 to 25,000. Sean Bindley has more.
It will also make those moving to Perth and the Gold Coast eligible for the visas in a bid to get migrants out of more densely populated cities like Melbourne and Sydney. But Federal Opposition Leader Anthony Albanese says people need to be matched with places where jobs and other opportunities exist.
Where's the evidence that the community lobbied to call Perth a regional town? Perth is a capital city. In the past, the government has excluded Perth from regional development funding and indeed excluded even the outskirts.
Sean Bindley, Air News.
Firefighters are starting to get the upper hand on an out-of-control bushfire burning on the New South Wales mid-north coast. The alert level for the blaze at Falford Road at Darawank has been downgraded from emergency to a watch and act. The Rural Fire Service's Greg Allen says the fire is no longer threatening homes.
The areas that we're talking about are Halliday's Point, Corrigan, Tallwoods Village, Blackhead, Redhead and Diamond Beach on the coast. So residents around those areas were advised that it was too late to leave, but there's no immediate threat to properties now. But it's really important to note that some roads in the area may still be closed.
There's a total fire ban for the Greater Hunter, New England and Northern Slopes regions today. Queensland Police say they hold grave concerns for a swimmer that may be missing in waters off Brisbane. The man was swimming in waters off Redland Bay when he told two passing kayakers he planned to reach Stradbroke Island. A land and air search by police has failed to find him with concerns for his safety in the water due to high winds and dangerous conditions. Officers are appealing for anyone with information to come forward. Overseas, the Acting Assistant Secretary of State for Europe is set to appear before the House committees conducting the impeachment inquiry. US President Donald Trump is angry both in private and public that no one appears to be buying his claim the call with Ukraine, which launched the inquiry, was perfect. Our US correspondent Priscilla Huff reports.
In a weekend closed session, the congressional committees are set to hear from Philip Reicher, the Acting Assistant Secretary of State for European Affairs. His testimony comes as a federal judge rules the notion that somehow the impeachment inquiry is somehow illegal is politically appealing, but from a legal perspective, fatally flawed. And that means the committees can see documents such as the redacted portions of the Mueller report. President Trump continues to rail against the rapidly developing inquiry, posting on Twitter, "The Ukraine investigation is just as corrupt and fake as all the other garbage that went on before it." Priscilla Huff, Washington.
Briefly, California's biggest utility company has admitted its electrical equipment may have sparked a bushfire spreading across the state's wine country. And the death toll from torrential rains that caused flooding and mudslides in eastern Japan has risen to 10 after the region was hit hard by a powerful typhoon. This is Air News. Jamie Whincup has taken out the first race at the Supercars Gold Coast 600, joined on the podium by teammate Shane van Gisbergen and Scott McLaughlin. Qualifying for the Australian MotoGP at Phillip Island was abandoned yesterday due to strong winds. And Daniel Ricciardo has slipped out of the top 10 in practice for tonight's Formula One Grand Prix in Mexico. The Western Sydney Wanderers are celebrating their thrilling 1-0 win over Sydney FC at Bankwest Stadium. An impressive goal by captain Mitchell Duke powered the side to victory. Coach Marcus Babbel says he's proud of the result.
It's a fantastic result for us because even a bit sweeter because it was a derby, especially for our supporters. They had a tough period behind them, and every win helped us, you know, to come in the right way where we want to go.
In the other match, Adelaide claimed their first win of the season, beating Newcastle 2-1. England have booked a spot in next week's Rugby World Cup final after downing New Zealand 19-7 in Japan. They'll face the winner of tonight's semi-final showdown between Wales and South Africa. The All Blacks have never before lost to England in the tournament's history. In the NBL, Melbourne United posted an exhilarating 104-98 win over the New Zealand Breakers. The Sydney Kings took down the Bullets 94-79. And the Hockey Roos have booked their place at the Tokyo Olympics with a resounding 5-0 win in the second and final qualifier against Russia. Australian Independent Radio News.
To get the most out of your spring racing experience, be sure to visit the Doncaster Hotel, Sydney's true home of racing. Located just a 5-minute stroll down Doncaster Avenue from Rambert Racecourse, the Doncaster is the place to be and be seen pre and post race for Sydney's racing crowd. Take advantage of the Doncaster's full tap facilities, enjoy a meal in their renowned restaurant, or just dance and sing the night away to the music of DJ Carbolic. Get the good oil and a cold beer at the Doncaster Hotel, where racing people go.
At Wingman, we've got your back. We're so excited by our new Wingman mid-strength 3.5% crisp, clean, never bitter lager. We're putting out a challenge. Next time you buy your beer, grab a single can of Wingman 3.5%, and if it's not the cleanest, tastiest, crispest lager you've ever had, take it back and Wingman will refund your money. Visit wingmanbeer.com.au to see where we've landed, and if you can't find us at your local, call us on 1300 45 beer. Take the Wingman challenge today. Now also available online with Dan Murphy's. Enjoy responsibly.
Nova Employment has been matching businesses to staff with ability for over 28 years and have an unbeatable track record of success. Nova can assist businesses of all sizes.
I'm Peter from Patterson's Patisserie. We've hired an apprentice baker from Nova Employment. His hard work and dedication has made him a great addition to our business. I'd recommend other employers focus on ability.
Recruiting? Choose Nova Employment, Sydney's premier disability employment service. Visit novaemployment.com.au.
It's coming. The richest race in the West. The social event of the season. And your biggest day to play. So grab your suit, dress to the nines, and get ready to cheer until your voice goes hoarse. The Eagle is coming. The Golden Eagle. Saturday, November 2nd, Rosehill Gardens. Tab. Long may we play.
Gamble responsibly. Call Gamblers Help 1-800-858-858.
The Wanderers win a pulsating derby at Bankwest.
What a great start at the reborn Wanderland.
Kangaroos get the job done against the Kiwis.
Sesto, that was blinding.
Here comes Lee Grosjean.
Damien Lane on the verge of a calendar grand slam.
The land of the rising sun wins the Cox Plate.
And the All Blacks shock losers in Japan.
Eddie Jones has done it again.
And now, overnight scores, expert comment and controversy on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Here's Jimmy Smith and Ray Thomas.
No, we shouldn't enjoy that so much, should we, really? I mean, it's disappointing for a whole nation. Anyone from New Zealand listening this morning, we urge you...
You took great delight in that, didn't you?
When was the last time you were cheering for England?
England 1907. Would you believe that? Eddie Jones has done wonders with that team. Bring him back, I reckon, Jim.
Well, I was just about to ask you, Ray, what should Rugby Australia... Should they break the bank? The unfortunate thing about Rugby Australia breaking the bank...
It's already broken.
A couple of leftover dollars and that's about it.
It's already broken.
You know what? If ever there was a chance, and we're just thinking on the run here, Raymond, why wouldn't you get a third-party deal to get Eddie Jones back to Australian rugby?
Do whatever it takes.
You could not tell me that there couldn't be a corporation that would be able to look at that and say, okay, Rugby Australia can pay you X, we're going to pay you 2x X to come back and save Australian rugby.
Well, he is the obvious choice and I dare say probably the only choice.
Yeah, fantastic.
Whether he comes home, though, is another thing.
Fantastic performance from England last night, and the All Blacks are out of the Rugby World. Oh, actually, they're not out. They'll play off for third and fourth, which will be fantastic.
Wales v South Africa this afternoon.
This afternoon, yeah.
Decide the final.
Today. How was Moonee Valley yesterday, Raymond? I'm presuming you were there.
I wasn't there, James.
Why not, Raymond?
Was it Randwick?
It's the Wait for Age Championship of Australasia.
It's all changed.
Right.
No, first Cox Plate I've missed in 25 years.
How many Caulfield Cups have you missed? When was the last 25?
94, that was my first carnival.
And what's your take on that?
You know what, James? I thought I'd be a little bit disappointed, but I wasn't. And I was on my own yesterday. Matty Jones, my colleague, had a family wedding to go to, so
right.
I had to stay in Sydney regardless.
Okay.
And the racing yesterday around it was good. The racing at Moonee Valley was great. I still can't pronounce that horse's name. Le Gracieux, is that close enough?
Yeah. Le Gracieux.
I tell you what, it might have been a vintage Cox Plate feel, but she was an outstanding winner of that race. She was well back at about the 700-metre mark, but Damien Lane said she probably didn't handle the valley that well, but was just so superior to that field, it wasn't funny. Castelvecchio's run was outstanding running second.
From what I understand, the crowd was a lot lower than it was last year, and I'm going to put it, well, I'm going to ask you, can you attribute it to either A, the absence of Winx, or B, the absence of Darryl Braithwaite singing horses?
Probably a combination of both.
Where would you weight those, Raven?
Well, definitely Winx was massive last year, just over 38,000. And I also think without a champion in this year's Cox Plate, well, maybe we did see one, but Australian racegoers weren't familiar with Le Gracieux, but without a champion in the Cox Plate field, just took a little bit of the gloss off the race, you know, so in that regard.
We do have a champion, and I was thinking this when I was watching the Kangaroos play on Friday night, and we have revered terms that we watch and we talk about the All Blacks, you know, up until last night, obviously, and then why don't we do the same for the Kangaroos?
That was my talk topic I couldn't think of.
Are you serious?
Yeah, because I know you've got a talk topic, and we'll go with yours. I do like yours. But I was saying on Friday night to Tanya, when the...
Are you serious?
I am. Yeah. When the Kangaroos ran onto the field with that jumper, I thought, gee, is there a more iconic sporting piece of apparel anywhere? The only thing I can put above it is a baggy green, for me personally.
Yes.
And I thought, wouldn't it be a great talk topic? The most iconic sporting, yellow jersey, Tour de France, it's panel operator Hamish. But you know where I'm coming from? That to me, that Kangaroos jumper is phenomenal.
26 points to 4 on Friday night, a very professional and outstanding performance, really, from the Kangaroos under the guidance of Mal Meninga. And you just think, that is one of the great teams in world sport. Now, say what you like about the competition they're up against and, you know, how many competitive teams there are.
They're consistently outstanding.
They never lose. Yeah. Why? And I was watching them thinking, why don't we revere this jersey
as much as the All Blacks?
As like the All Blacks jersey is revered in world sport up until last night, obviously.
So where do you put that jersey in? You know what I'm trying to say?
Well, in my mind, it's best of the best, gentlemen.
Above the baggy green?
Yeah.
Okay. That's you know, it.
Yeah.
Just stuffed our talk topic for one time.
No, but, you know, the Australia wins the Ashes or retains the urn, and they do it 2-2 in a test series, you know, which, if it wasn't for one man, they would have lost comprehensively.
Correct.
So, yeah, they did get the job done, but they didn't go and win. No. And let's look at this from a historic lens as well. It's a very, very famous piece of sporting equipment as well. But you've got to say, I'm just talking about the amount of success that the Kangaroos have. It should be appreciated more.
And continued success.
Continued success.
Decade after decade. Can I ask you a question, James?
Yes.
Why aren't the Kangaroos playing Great Britain if they're out in this part of the world?
Well, that's a very good question. Now, my understanding of it is that Great Britain, who haven't played together as a team since 2006... So from that point on, it's been split up into England and Wales and Ireland and Scotland, or Northern Ireland. And so from that point, they haven't played. Now they are back together again. And the reason they're back together again is Duco Events, who used to run the Auckland Nines, so this is a New Zealand-based sports promoter, has put them back together again for the sake of the tour. So they are playing. Last night, they played against Tongan Invitational.
Lost 14-6.
And lost 14 points to 6. Next week, they play the Kiwis.
Yep.
The week after that, they play the Kiwis. And the week after that, they play PNG.
But they don't play Australia.
But Australia have a game against a Tonga Invitational.
After they've played New Zealand.
Who?
Australia.
Yeah, after playing New Zealand on Friday. Yeah. So they've got a game on next Saturday. Yeah. But they do not play Great Britain.
It doesn't make sense.
I don't know why. I don't know why. Because surely that's your blockbuster game,
absolutely,
right? If you're looking for a blockbuster game, surely that's it. But we don't get it against this Great Britain side. So we'll take your thoughts on that. 13:53:53. No. Michael Checker. Mm. Did it get a little bit ugly in the end?
It did, didn't it?
Yeah.
Sort of a train wreck watching it happen, wasn't it, almost, you know?
So, amazing reports coming out about the confrontation that he had with Raylene Castle during the course of the World Cup.
And it's what you always say, if your affairs aren't in order in the top office, it just goes right down through the organisation. The players were saying, no, we had no real idea, weren't concerned about what was happening between the coach and administration. But you would wonder, won't you, James? And you always say, if it's not working in the top office, the whole club, the whole organisation suffers.
And I think that was clear with the Wallabies. In saying that, It's going to be interesting how we look back and view the reign of Michael Checker. Passionate, yes.
Successful, no.
No. You couldn't say it was successful in any way, shape or form. And you go back to that decision in December of 2018 to extend Michael Checker for another 12 months. And you just wonder. And Raylene Castles has come out and defended her decision and said, look, at the time there was no one better available, but... Gee, was it a year too long? Did he go a year too long? Would the makeup of the Wallabies been very different
if he wasn't there? It's an interesting question. I honestly don't know. What about the Israel Folau impact that had on the Wallabies, had on their ability to win those important games?
That's a very good point too, which has been lost a little bit during the course of this wash-up as well.
I wonder what he
Your best
think.
Player is
Correct.
Gone. Yeah. Not only is he gone, but it's not for an injury reason either. It's for very serious reasons that is divisive for the whole side.
Correct.
After Dave Pocock comes out and makes his thoughts publicly known as well. So that's a very good point, 1353-53.
Hey, James, you and I love our cricket, don't we?
We do.
Absolutely love it. Hey, do you know the Australian team's playing today?
I did.
Only because
I heard yesterday.
They're playing a T20, the international summer starts.
What?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Against Sri Lanka in the Adelaide Oval. Yeah. At least got someone to watch at 3:30.
So Chris Lynn will be playing, will he?
Oh, did you see that ball got bowled the other night? He sort of stepped outside leg and didn't look very good. But...
So Chris Lynn, he's playing, obviously.
Is he playing?
No. Mm. He'd have been told, though, why he's not playing, wouldn't he?
I'm tipping not.
No, he was not. From my understanding, Chris Lynn has not been... If you're an Australian selector, and by the way, you can actually put your hand up. They're advertising for the position. If you're an Australian selector, you say, look, that we've got contracted players, we've got players that are going to be in the mix. And if you miss out, surely you just say, oh, look, mate... You know, you just need a few more runs. All right, no worries, mate. Okay, yep, bang.
Pretty simple process,
isn't it? It's not that hard.
Yeah, pretty simple process.
It's not that hard.
And that would leave a player very disillusioned, especially someone like Chris Lynn, who...
Completely.
...who you would think would be a fixture in the T20 team.
Absolutely. So, again, thoughts on the Australian cricket side running around this afternoon in Adelaide, 1353-53. Sam Burgess.
What's happening there, James?
Turns 31 in December.
Mm.
3 years remaining on his contract, equaling $3.6 million, $1.2
million
per annum.
Will his body let him do 3 more years?
Based on what we're hearing, no. That there's going to be a meeting during the course of the week, and we might even get a press conference. When Sam gets back from Mexico, he's celebrating the 50th birthday of the founder of Garlo's Pies, Sean Garlick, a big friend of the program. He's celebrating his birthday in Mexico.
What's your tip? Seriously.
I would... Well, there's a couple of things at play here. This one thing is, does Sam Burgess ever play again? And the second point is, does the $1.2 million stay on the South Sydney salary cap? That's the question. That's part of the big question. But the big question is, he's been a warrior for a decade out here in Australia, Burgess.
It must take a toll. Obviously it is. But his body...
I look at him, and if he retires, I think, gee, there's more football left in Sam Burgess. Without knowing the extent of his injury, and clearly we're getting reports about how much bone fragments left and all that sort of stuff. But I'd be shocked. Remember, if they write him off and say, right, because of this injury, you can't play any further, but we can pay you outside the cap. He can't come back in a year's time and play another code or play somewhere else. He can't go back to England and play over there. It just seems incredible. He's 30 years of age.
No one saw this coming because he's still at the peak of his powers, isn't he, Sam Burgess? I know he's had an injury-riddled season, but when he's fit and in form, he's still the most damaging forward in the game. Is that a fair thing to say?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Playing a little bit differently this year, playing out on an edge as opposed to playing in the middle.
Which means he gets bigger
minutes out of that. So there you go. 1353-53 on that one. The Kings continue their winnings. Wait, where are you and Tanya heading out?
As soon as I can get rid of my spring carnival workload, which is a couple of weeks from ending. I can't wait, James. And then, we watched a bit of the Kings last night. Flicking between, they're off to a 5-0 start.
They're not bad, are they? Big story yesterday about Andrew Bogut and what he faced over there in China. You put a little, think you're having a little bit of fun putting a tweet out there and it comes back to bite you. That's
he doesn't mind. Like, loves his social
media. He loves it. Yeah.
Well, Sydney FC, I got home in time to watch most of the second half.
Yes.
And they looked like they were, well, asked Phil Moss a bit late, looked like they were dominating territorially. They seemed to be having shots at goal or time against the Wanderers. Lost 1-0. Very controversial decision. Did that ball go over the line, James?
Of course it did.
It was pretty obvious, wasn't it?
Very obvious. I mean, if you're out there, let us know, because there was 28,500 people out there. If you build it, they will come, Raymond. Bank West Stadium.
It is okay? Phenomenal.
Bank West Stadium.
It works.
Of course it does.
You've called plenty of game, like NRL games out there this year. It's just a fantastic ground for the spectator, for football. You're so close to the action. I'm with you now about this rectangle argument you've been having with me for months.
It's not even an argument. It's just a thought, my opinion, and that is that I will be devastated, and that's probably going over the top.
Probably, yeah.
I'll be very, very disappointed if what we get out there at ANZ Stadium is what we've got at the moment and not purpose-built for rectangular sports. There's enough there's not enough non-rectangular sports to justify it not being rectangular.
I'm not going to argue anymore. Hey, some big news just on the racetrack too from yesterday. Glenn Boss, who's had such a great run of success this spring, suspended yesterday afternoon, potentially will cost him the Melbourne Cup ride on the early favourite Constantinople.
You're a massive fan of the run of Constantinople in the Caulfield Cup.
Fantastic.
So this is big news. So you would have been speaking to Glenn?
Yes.
Thoughts?
He's going to appeal.
Okay.
I think the odds are against him. My information is that Joe Moreira is likely to step into the breach once that appeal process fails. So Joe Moreira, the front runner.
Based on that, we've got a quick SMS that's come in already, 0419 767 272. Just out of curiosity, boys, has the one jockey ever won the big four in the 1 year, the Slipper, the Caulfield Cup, the Cox Plate and the Melbourne Cup?
No.
How's D-Lane's bank account travelling? Dave?
Okay. No jockey's ever done it, and he's a real chance after, of course, winning the Slipper on Kiyomichi and the Caulfield Cup on Murder Glass before Le Grassier. Did I get it right?
Yeah, Le Grassier.
I've struggled all week.
Le Grassier
wins the Cox Plate, and, of course, he rides Murder Glass in the Melbourne Cup. Great chance. The only equivalent...
Yeah, who's gone closest?
Yeah, is a trainer, and did it in one season. The great Lee Friedman in 1992-93 won the Caulfield Cup with Mannerism, the Cox Plate was super, the Melbourne Cup was sub-zero, and in the autumn won the Golden Slipper with Bent Maskey.
Oh, so it...
One season, but not one calendar year.
Right, so, one season. Yeah. All right, well, you've got us on a technicality there, Raymond. By the way, Wingman have a massive announcement during the course of this week. We're very excited about it. I don't know why I said we. I feel like I'm part of the company.
Was it part of this show, is it?
What, Wingman?
The Wingman announcement.
No, it's not.
Oh, okay.
Well, if this...
Because you said we, so I thought maybe it's some sponsorship.
No, we will benefit from it.
Oh, okay, that's all right, though.
Did you get any beer turn up?
No, you said some was coming. But
yeah,
no,
it's on its way.
Well, that's the next door neighbour took it, didn't he?
Anyway, it's on its way. But Wingman beer to the best contribution and General Chow's, which we haven't been yet.
We have to go.
I'm looking at you, Ray Thomas.
Yeah, might wait a week and a half, James.
Week and a half after you get very busy. All right, so General Chow's to the contribution that makes us think a little.
Week and a half.
Eastern.
What do you say? Eastern philosophies meet Western
what? Civilization.
Okay. Whatever that means.
Anyway, whatever that means, if you can make us think, which is, as Ray says, isn't that difficult, then you're a chance. By the way, it's a $250 voucher.
How good's that?
It's magnificent food at Chatswood, and it's a $250 voucher, courtesy of General Chow's, and a Wingman carton, of course. There's a couple of disgruntled listeners start to contact me now on social media, which is very public, obviously, and we need to cut that out. So we will endeavour, our best endeavours, to get the winners their Wingman beer. But the talk topic today, revisionist history, Ray. It's a great podcast by Malcolm Gladwell. We're looking at historical moments in sport through a different lens. And it was brought up in conversation yesterday. I was talking to a mate of mine, Paul Wald, arguably the sixth or seventh best gutter garter in Chipping Norton. But anyway.
Sixth or seventh?
Arguably.
There's six better. Paul, go on.
How many gutter garters are there in Chipping Norton?
I'm about to say. Right there.
Anyway.
Paul, go on.
Revisionist history. Look at historical moments in sport through a different lens. And I'm thinking about Martin Bella's knock-on to start the 1994 Grand Final. And it all went downhill from there for the Canterbury-Bankstown Bulldogs, right? Beaten comprehensively by the Canberra Raiders.
So what are you saying?
Why wasn't there someone there to catch the kickoff? It's not Martin's job. So everyone blames Martin Bella for the knock-on, but I want to blame whoever it was who wasn't there to catch the kickoff.
Who was that? Who was
Terry Lamb. Listens to the program. Morning, Terry.
Under the bus,
sorry,
Terry.
Used to listen to the program.
That is the half or 5/8 job, to catch a ball and pass on to his rampaging front rower.
To the point, I looked on it on YouTube last night, and just Terry Lamb was standing in the in-goal area and just didn't take the ball on the full. Terry, what were you doing? So I'm saying, stop blaming Martin Bella. And let's start
tortured for 25 years.
25 years. Put some apportion some blame to T. Lamb.
Poor fella.
Yeah. What about you, Roman?
Okay. Can I bring Don Bradman into it?
Why not? I'd be shocked if you didn't.
Do you ever think about that last innings at the Oval in 1948 from the bowler's perspective?
In what way?
Eric Holley's.
Yes.
No,
second ball duck.
Anyone ever think about what a great ball Eric Holley's bowled?
No one.
Everyone always says, well, bugger bowl Bradman. Jeez. You know, you only needed four runs. Could have bowled a full toss.
Four runs. I had tears in my eyes after the ovation that the English cricketers gave him.
Give him a full toss, hit the four, then bowl him.
Yes. But no, he might have bowled an in-swinging leg cutter, and no one talks about the great ball that Eric Holley's bowled.
Unplayable.
So there you go.
The great Don Bradman.
There we go. Revisionist history. Looking at historical moments in sport through a different lens. 1353 53 is the open line number. Here we go. Morning, boys. What could be turned a good day into a bloody beauty? Grant from Newey.
If you back a horse at $41, like what could be, well done, Grant from Newey.
Well done. So keep the good stories coming in. The bad stories probably won't get as much airtime. 1353 53, a break and back with more.
Warrawee needy.
Here's what one of the USA's leading drivers, Jody Jameson, had to say about him after he retired as the fastest horse on the planet.
Warrawee needy was one of the best horses I ever drove, bar none. Some of the fastest quarters a horse has ever paced. Warrawee needy paced those quarters. He's come quarters in 25 seconds. Tall, beautiful horse, clean-legged, powerful strides, and an amazing brain, which is very important when you're racing in Australasia. Just an amazing animal, and I'm sure he'll do wonders here down under.
My name's Colin and I'm from Victoria. If you need a loan to help your business quickly, call OnDeck. I found it a very quick and simple process with very quick results. They've been great over the past year, helping me through a sticky time when the bank said no.
If, like Colin, you need money for your business and fast, apply with OnDeck, the small business loan specialist. You'll know if you're approved in as quickly as 2 hours, and it's possible to get funding the same business day. Visit ondeck.com.au. All loans are subject to lender approval.
At Wingman, we've got your back. We're so excited by our new Wingman mid-strength 3.5% crisp, clean, never bitter lager. We're putting out a challenge. Next time you buy your beer, grab a single can of Wingman 3.5%, and if it's not the cleanest, tastiest, crispest lager you've ever had, take it back and Wingman will refund your money. Visit wingmanbeer.com.au to see where we've landed, and if you can't find us at your local, call us on 1300 45 beer. Take the Wingman challenge today. Now also available online with Dan Murphy's. Enjoy responsibly.
To get the most out of your spring racing experience, be sure to visit the Doncaster Hotel, Sydney's true home of racing. Located just a 5-minute stroll down Doncaster Avenue from Ramwick Racecourse, the Doncaster is the place to be and be seen pre and post race for Sydney's racing crowd. Take advantage of the Doncaster's full tap facilities. Enjoy a meal in their renowned restaurant or just dance and sing the night away to the music of DJ Carbolic. Get the good oil and a cold beer at the Doncaster Hotel, where racing people go.
And a heat hit the front. Vital Silver's running on. Loving Gabby's getting through. And a heat in front. Vital Silver and Loving Gabby. Loving Gabby's hit the front. The filly's going to win it. Loving Gabby has beaten Vital Silver. And a heat third from Rock Magic, Bivouac and the Bostonian.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
And welcome back to the show. That was Loving Gabby winning the Manikado Stakes on Friday night. Bivouac, very unlucky. This is from
just quality of that race?
It
6 days after the Everest?
Yeah, the Everest sucked a bit of life out of it, to be fair.
A bit?
Yeah.
Okay.
I did have a suggestion about how that could be potentially eradicated.
Lay it on me, Roman.
Well, there's a Moonee Valley Friday night meeting coming up on the night before Derby Day.
So you think it would be better held over a week?
Correct. Now, in the years when the Everest does clash with Caulfield Cup Day, which isn't every year.
Right.
So, but when it does, move the Manikato to that Derby Eve.
Why isn't it every year that it clashes?
It depends when the October long weekend is.
Okay, yes.
Early, like the first or the second, it'll clash on Caulfield Guinea. I don't want to get too technical. Anyway, but the bottom line is, when there is a clash, and if Moonee Valley are upset about that, well then, move that race to the Derby Eve meeting at the Vale, which has no features, and you still have 8 days in the VRC Sprint Classic. Easy backup.
No, it's too late. You've got too technical.
You
said I don't want to get too technical. Yeah.
I confuse you.
Pretty much. But that's easy too. Eastern philosophy.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, okay. But this isn't confused. From the lovely Vicky from Port Macquarie. Good morning, Vicky. On the talk topic, that's not the talk topic, iconic apparel.
Yes.
The pink and black polka dots of the Black Caviar era. Very good point. And Leighton Hewitt's reverse cap.
Come on.
We've burned a talk topic there.
We have. You've burned a talk topic. It was a very good idea. And by the way, they're not easy to come up with.
You just
burnt one.
I know, we did. But anyway, Vicky's on board there. Hey, race replay, Tom Jones.
Yes.
Very, very important. We'll go straight into Randwick yesterday. The Nevison, terrific finish. It was Brenton Abdallah on Madame Rouge.
Madame Rouge getting a splitter. Really Men Ruby travels up well, coming up the rise. Pretty in Pink trying to go with her. It's Ready to Profit being challenged by Madame Rouge. Now Really Men Ruby's getting cracking on the outside. Madame Rouge got to a narrow lead from Really Men Ruby, who's trying. Madame Rouge going strongly from Really Men Ruby. And Madame Rouge leads all. Madame Rouge won it by a head on the line to Really Men Ruby. Ready to Profit third, followed up by Moss Trip, then came Pretty in Pink.
So Madame Rouge was a winner, one of four for Brenton Abdallah. Has he ever won four at a Sydney Metrop before?
I think he rode five once. We'll ask him a bit later.
Okay, we're going to speak to him a little bit later.
He's done four before, but terrific effort. Willem and Ruby, I was on her. Couldn't carry mine, but that's another story. On to the Sydney Tattersalls Cup. Now, this is a very promising horse. His name is Master of Wine.
But Master of Wine, two lengths clear from Morris, going to a clear second. The field is well strung out. Master of Wine rips away, mopped the floor with them there in the City Tats Club Cup. Morris second, Master of Arts third. Not sure about four. Sorter Boy got going at the end from a tension run.
So there you go, Darren Flindell. Yeah. Very late.
It was
there.
A one horse race.
Yes.
That one got a haircut, didn't it?
Didn't it? Jesus, it's like your intros. But anyway, Master of Wine, we're just trying to find a prize for Master of Wine. Magic Wand.
As you would say, one team, I just wish I was on it.
Just wish I was on it. Yeah, trying to get a prize in the Melbourne Cup. Master of Wine.
He's in the Melbourne Cup.
$51, so yeah, just going back to Constantinople, the $7 favourite. Surprise Baby at $9.
The local hope.
Murder Glass at $10. Finch at $11. Mm. And we're just trying to get a gauge around all of these horses, aren't we?
Yeah, it's difficult.
You know, the names don't jump out at you, do they? And that is a problem.
I was doing had a look at the order of entry yesterday. It could be up to 12 Northern Hemisphere train stays in the Melbourne Cup.
And how many?
Up to 12.
Of 24.
Yeah, and at this stage, only one in the order of entry in the top 24 is an Australian bred.
And that's the problem.
Angel of Truth.
And that's the problem.
It's disappointing.
Very.
Master One is in the cup. We'll talk to John Hawkes a bit later. I don't think he's going there, or a bit of a rush, but either the Hawkes Sabre have a very promising horse there. The inaugural Bondi Stakes, to be fair, wasn't the strongest race, but I tell you what, you'll go a long, long way to see a braver ride than Brenton Abdallah on Kubrick.
Opens up for Just Thinking. It's Collada in front from Just Thinking, going to a clear second. Kubrick ran out of room there on the inside, although it's scraping paint now. Can it get through Kubrick? It's trying to get underneath Collada. Here's Pancho with a big run wide out. Kubrick gets the run now and takes the lead from Pancho, and it's Kubrick just in front, goes clear to win the Bondi Stakes by one length to Pancho. Collada third.
I don't think he had any of the leather left on his boots after that ride. It was just incredible to think. Okay, rider wanted to go there, horse as well.
I saw the head on in the stewards' room.
Yes,
it is extraordinary viewing because Brenton Abdallah and Kubrick, they tested the flexibility of that inside running rail for about 100 metres. It bent and it ballooned out and back in.
In the old days when you had the wooden rail,
you couldn't have gone there,
right?
Because there was no room.
Okay.
It was the bravest ride I've seen in a long, long time.
We're going to speak to Brent Navdullah a little bit later on in the program.
Okay, Moonee Valley yesterday, the first of the features, the Moonee Valley Cup. Here's another of these overseas stayers. This horse's name is Hunting Horn.
At the 350, Downdraft goes to the lead. Here's Mr. Quickie and Hunting Horn. They've beaten off Schraro, and they were followed by Ventura Storm. It's Hunting Horn up the Downdraft. Mr. Quickie's the threat. Hunting Horn at the 150, a length. Mr. Quickie trying to wear it down. Hunting Horn is clear. Hunting Horn, a length. Mr. Quickie. Hunting Horn has won the Moonee Valley Gold Cup from Mr. Quickie. Downdraft. Fourth Humidor from Ventura.
So there we go. We're looking at the market again for the Melbourne Cup. Remember, Constantinople is a $7 favourite. Hunting Horn, though, Raymond, after that performance yesterday, $18 at tab.com.au.
Yes, impressive, wasn't he? And he'll go on to the Melbourne Cup. Now, on to now the Cox Plate. And, well, the talk all week was that if she got around the valley, she was just simply too good, Le Grassier. And, well, that's exactly how it turned out.
Castel Vecchio from Magic Wand, Blackheart Bart, Mystic Journey. They were followed by Dancer Terrier, and Lee Grasseur is running on. Castel Vecchio into the straight at the 200. A length, Magic Wand. Lee Grasseur down the outside. Castel Vecchio a length. But here comes Lee Grasseur. Lee Grasseur stomps up, and the Land of the Rising Sun wins the Cox Plate. Lee Grasseur by a length and a half. Castel Vecchio. Tiago Shark prominent for third with Magic Wand and Mystic Journey.
I think that was the point, wasn't it? I think $3.60 into $2.50. The money was around for Lee Grasseur, and she certainly performed like it. She was six wide on the turn there,
and well back at about the 700 inside horse. She's in a spot of bother here, but her acceleration, James,
just incredible. You mentioned the run of Castel Vecchio, which was a very good
ride. Craig Williams, and did a fantastic job. We're hoping to get Rich Litt on this morning. He's actually on a plane on the way back to Sydney now, so he was unfortunately unavailable. But he did a great job with that colt, and it sort of underlines the Shadow Hero form now going into the Victoria Derby.
And there you go. 1353 53 is the open line number, by the way. If you want to get involved in the program, you can do it via the SMS as well. Just move the Everest to Melbourne Cup Day. The Melburnians want it moved. LOL. No name on that one.
I love him.
Iconic Apparel. Listen,
it wasn't the talk topic.
What about Greg Norman's Shark Akubra? That's Bender from Narrabri. That's a very good point.
Funny boy, here you go. This is your talk topic. Chime in there, James. Chime in there.
Hi, team. A historical moment in sport. I think it was Benji Marshall's flick pass in the grand final of the School West Tigers. First ever grand final in the merged club's history. Bunny boy, it's not quite what we're looking for in the talk topic. Anyway, let's go to calls. I'm sure Ron from Moree will be on topic. G'day, Ron.
G'day, boys. How are you?
Morning, really well, Ron. Mate.
Happy birthday, Jimmy.
Thank you very much, Ron. Yes, Ray didn't mention it, but thank you for mentioning it.
I rang you up on Friday. Personally wished you happy birthday.
Actually, that's right, he did.
He's a hard man, Ron. Geez, a hard man.
Oh, no, he's a tough boy. Look.
But apart from that, Ray said nothing.
Oh, yeah, well, I can tell you why Ray didn't go down to Melbourne. There's a lynch squad waiting for him.
Ron, we don't like to bring that up.
Well, it's pretty obvious.
How are you Victoria's most wanted?
I wouldn't say most wanted, but I might be on that
list.
Yes. Which is pretty unfair, Ron, but it is what
such
it is.
Such is life, right?
Yeah, it is what it is. If people react that way, life is too short, Ron, to worry about things like that. So
I think so. Mm. I mean, you would have just been hung up and dried, literally, if you'd have tried to get through the gates. Anyway, this talk subject, I'm still trying to get my head around it.
Yes, yeah.
Bit of a worry, this one, but listen, I do remember Doug Sanders missing a putt in the last hole of the British Open.
What year?
68?
Yeah, around that.
Yeah.
And a 36 marker would have knocked that one in.
Was it that Tony Jacklin's Open, by memory?
He had to have a playoff, remember?
Yeah, he won the playoff, didn't he?
Yeah, but Sanders, the polka dot kid, they used to call him.
Yeah.
He was the first of the colourful, clothed players.
Listen, you're not getting into this apparel debate as well, eh? Ron, thanks very much for your call, Ron. No, thank you, Ron. Thank you very much.
Actually, that reminds me of another one. I can't remember the guy's name. He was a Frenchman on the 18th. He put the ball into the water. And four times...
Jean Vandeville?
I think it was. And
he
four
got,
times...
He got the plus fours. He pulled up the trousers.
He only needed a bogey or double bogey. He would have won it.
His shot selection was atrocious.
Panic set in. Hasn't been sighted since.
You know...
professional tour.
I got a feeling that Jack Newton lipped out on the final hole of a Masters.
A major,
I reckon it was the Masters in late 70s, maybe even 1980, and he lipped out had to go to a playoff.
Yep, and didn't
and
win
lost
the playoff.
And came second.
Yep, I think you're 100% right. I'll check on that. But
so
is that what you're sort of thinking about?
A little bit closer. What about Ron just saying, yeah, I'm trying to get my head around it?
He combined two of them.
It's pretty much like what Ray was saying a little bit earlier, anyway. I love the fact that you're prepared to go with it, Raymond. All right, let's go to Adrian. He's on the line. Adrian, hello.
How you going, guys?
Morning, Adrian.
I just want to talk about Tonga, but just before that, what about the last person to fall just short of the finish line for Stephen Bradbury to come in through and win the gold? Who was that player?
Yeah. Unknown. The unknown.
No, the American who was the gold medal favourite ended up getting the silver. Apollo Ono, I think.
Creed? No.
Yeah. So that was pretty much a bit of a miracle. Just on Tonga, I mean, their forward pack and their back five, seriously, I mean, at one stage, Adam Fanua Blake was picked on the bench, and for me, he was the best front rower in the competition across 25 rounds. And him and Takiyaho, I'd taken as my two middle props any day of any week. So they're very powerful there. Got a powerful back five. And also, Jimmy, I mean, Sean Johnson was horrendous with his kicking game. I mean, when he threw that intercept pass that Latrell Mitchell picked up, that was the time to kick behind them. And Lola here showed yesterday what a good kicking game can do. And, I mean, Sean Johnson learned a lot from him. And I don't know why Kieran Foran wasn't in that side out of Sean Johnson.
Kieran Foran, I would imagine, is going to be in the side next week. It'd be very interesting to know what Michael Maguire is going to do, and I reckon that Sean Johnson will be rested next week. Now, call it rested, whatever you want to call it. Kieran Foran back into that halves along with Benji Marshall. G'day, David.
Yeah, good morning, boys. How are you?
Morning, David.
Really well, mate.
It's a sort of a broad topic. I'm just ringing about international sport or state of origin sport as a whole, where it's not really what's on your birth certificate, it's more a United Nations
thing. All right.
Like the prop from New Zealand last night as a kid, emigrated from New Zealand to Wales, but plays for England.
Yes.
And it's happening in every sport. Australia's no, you know, gods in this either. We've got, two soccer players who never even seen the country.
Yes, yes, that's true.
And it's happening worldwide. Why? They're just a glorified club team. Eddie Jones has picked players from all over the world to play for England.
However,
to do that in Australia, he's going to have to go through the federal government about immigration rules. You know what I mean?
However, within the existing framework, he's doing nothing wrong.
The laws are there.
The laws are there.
He's exploiting the loopholes.
And look, it's very different in rugby union compared to rugby league. Rugby league, you have tier one and tier two nations, which means it's different rules for tier one nations. So you can't play for two tier one nations, but you can play for a tier two nation and a tier one nation.
Yeah, I've got you.
Do you understand
that? Yeah,
yeah. Now the situation is Tonga a Tier 1 or a Tier 2 nation? Presently, they're Tier 2. Should they be?
Hence the Michael Jennings situation.
Exactly, exactly. So David Fifita, Andrew Fifita. So that's it's an interesting point, but a little bit of bending loose
to try and broaden the international game.
Yeah, we're open to that too. 1353-53, the Apple line number. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more.
Tintin in America. Winner of 5 Group 1 races. Already the sire of an Australian 2-year-old Colts record holder and Australian 3-year-old Phillies record holder. Tintin in America, standing at Yerribee Stud in New South Wales. Visit yerribee.com.au.
You've had a tough year. You were forced to try Bikram Yoga. Your mother-in-law moved in.
you got a back wax. So end the year on a high with Volkswagen's MY19 model clearance. Pick up the truly tough Amarok Core from just $39,990 drive away with our ABN holders demonstrator clearance offer. Head into your local dealer today for offers you truly deserve. Conditions and exclusions apply. Visit Volkswagen.com.au.
There's a proportion of the population who can stay seated when they see a horse or two on television. They just look and think to themselves, there's a fast horse, and barely move a muscle. But then there are people who would see that horse and think, look at that beautiful three-year-old filly fly. And no amount of force could keep them seated. They'd be compelled to stand and cheer and encourage that good thing home. We're those people. Tab, long may we play.
Gamble responsibly. Call Gamblers Help 1-800-858-858.
Sydney's newest must-see home renovation destination is now open. Wideline Windows and Doors state-of-the-art Liverpool showroom features an impressive range of residential, designer and architectural designs on display. Experience window shopping like never before. See how your home will look and feel with our stunning contemporary 310 square metre showroom, plus find solutions to improve energy efficiency, acoustics, privacy and security. Wideline Liverpool will bring your home reno vision to life. Located at 12 Home Pride Avenue, Warwick Farm, open 6 days.
Diamond Thunder, there's edging clear late, and Diamond Thunder goes on to win it. Diamond Thunder wins the Crowley by 3/4 to Cardiff, and Hope running third.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, this is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
And that was Diamond Thunder winning first up in the Brian Crowley yesterday. It's his fourth win from his last five starts, Jim, and continues trainer Mark Newnham's great run at the moment. And Mark's been good enough to join us on the line this morning. Mark, good morning.
Yeah, morning, Ray. Morning, Jimmy.
Congratulations again, Mark. And this is an underrated colt, this bloke. Three-year-old gelding now, Diamond Thunder, because he won a stakes race at the back end of his juvenile season and carried top weight yesterday, and a very strong performance, Mark.
Yeah, look, he's just getting through his grades without too much fuss. I've always had a decent enough opinion of him, but he only had the one run as a colt, and it's clear that his attitude was going to hold him back as a racehorse, so we gelded him and he hasn't looked back.
And sent to Brisbane as well, Mark, and a little bit of a toughening up exercise associated with that. What are you hoping to get? What did you get from that spell up in Brisbane?
Oh, look, it just helps them mature a little bit, gets them out of their comfort zone. They've got to adapt to a different environment. Look, I sent him and Shadow Hero up there, and they're both able to win at Doomben on the same day, and then have a nice break. And I didn't look much into the spring for this fella because he's a gelding, and with the amount of prize money we have around, especially in Sydney at the moment, he should have a long and prosperous career. So it's about placing him to advantage from here. And I picked out yesterday's race for him as a race to just keep him ticking over. He couldn't stay out for any longer, and with the Magic Millions in mind in January, so he'll have a freshen up. He'll remain in the stable, have a little bit of a freshen up, and then have a couple of runs in December leading into the three-year-old Magic Moon in January.
Yeah, it's a lovely horse, Mark. And as I mentioned earlier, continue the stable's great run because, of course, Shadow Hero did win the Group 1 Spring Champion earlier this month for you. The Cox Plate, a result yesterday would have been good for you in the respect that Castelvecchio ran so well to finish second, Mark. And he, of course, ran second to Shadow Hero in the Spring Champion.
Yeah, it was nice to see the form confirmed. I think, coming out of the Spring Champion Stakes, the two runs of the race were the first two across the line because they defied the pattern of the day, which, tended to suit horses in front on the fence. So Shadow Hero and Castelvecchio were able to make ground and, in the middle of the track where it was hard to do on the day. Castelvecchio, look, he ran terrific yesterday and very good colt. My bloke heading forward to the Derby, I'm happy with him.
Did I hear you mention Magic Millions in association with Diamond Thunder there, Mark? Because I know you love getting up there to the Gold Coast in January, as I witnessed earlier this year.
Well, Jimmy, it's a good place to be in January.
He misses nothing, you know, Mark. Don't worry. He misses nothing.
For those of us who are still working, no.
Well, I'm totally with you. I was working up there as well.
Of course.
Long and arduous days, Mark.
Yeah, I didn't see you at the track too many times at 4 a.m, Jim.
Funny about that.
But, look, it's, you know, he'd be a horse that's, you know, suited to a Magic Man 3-year-old over 1400. I'm sure the 1400 won't pose any trouble to him, and hopefully we get up there with a good chance in the 2-year-old race, being Every Rose and Diamond Thunder in the 3-year-old. But long way to go till January.
Sure.
Okay. I'm going to embarrass Mark now, Jimmy.
Yes.
Hey, Mark, you probably won't like this, but yesterday when you're in there defending your apprentice, Robbie Dolan, it was like watching, what's a great lawyer? At
Perry Mason.
Perry Mason, it was brilliant. As he walked out, I won't mention the name of the two senior jockeys, Mark, who are waiting for their turn before Stewart, like they were walking to the gallows, so to speak. And as they walked out, they asked Robbie Dolan, how'd you go? Oh, Mark got me off. And these two senior jockeys said, come back, Mark, come and help.
Maybe I spent too much time in there while I was a jockey.
No, it was pretty good to watch, actually, getting Robbie off that potential charge. And he's going great guns for you at the moment, isn't he?
He's going fantastic. But, look, as I've said to Robbie previously, there's no good going in there and defending the indefendable. So, you know, put up a case when you think you're in the right. Mm. And when you're in the wrong, put up your hand and say, you know, that guilty is charged and move on. And I think that way the stewards look at you seriously as well when you're defending yourself. Mm. And, you know, I've always said to him, I'll defend him to the hilt as long as I think, you know, he's not guilty.
Yep.
But look, Robbie's come along in leaps and bounds in the last 12 or 18 months, and he's now getting good opportunities in non-claiming races. So, yeah, look, he's got a great future ahead of him. He's a natural lightweight, very strong for his size and weight, and, you know, he rides horses well in front and, you know, from the back of the field. So he's got his bases covered there. And hopefully I've got the next one coming through. I started off another young Irish boy in the last few weeks called Tom Sherry.
Okay.
Tom Sherry.
Write his little name down, isn't it? Tom Sherry.
He's ridden a couple of winners already. Well, he's ridden four winners already in the month that he's been riding. But, you know, I'll follow a similar path with him as we did with Robbie. And Wayne Harris is managing him. And we'll just keep him to country and provincial meetings for the first, probably, you know, 18 months before we let him loose in town. So he'll have the right sort of grounding before he has to compete against the big boys.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye on him.
Sub-editor's dream, isn't he? Yeah. Tom Sherry. Sherry on top and all that sort of stuff.
It,
yeah, yeah, no problem. Hey, Mark, congratulations. Stable going from strength to strength. Great work yesterday with Diamond
and
Thunder.
And good luck in the derby next week.
Good luck in the derby next week. And you realise, too, if you do go into the legal profession, they can charge out at six-minute increments.
I'll send you a bill, then.
No worries. No, hey, keep it away from me. Give it to Ray Thomas. Hey, Thomas, he's the man. Good on you, Mark.
Great, thanks very much.
Mark Newnham there, and a win yesterday with Diamond Thunder, as you say. A great fella, always a good friend of the program, too, comes on. And no, I did see him up at Magic Millions. And
you weren't working,
I
Mark
wasn't
was.
Working, yeah, and he
exactly.
was. That's,
understand
exact, that's
that.
Exactly how it goes, Roman.
Exactly. Another man who had he did have a fantastic day yesterday. Four winners, including the feature race, the Bondi Stakes on Kubrick, with one of the bravest rides I've seen in a long, long time, Jimmy. And he's on the line, good enough to join us this morning. Brenton Abdullah. Brenton, good morning.
Morning, boys.
Morning, Brenton. Congratulations yesterday on the four winners. But can I take you to Kubrick ride? And I was telling Jimmy earlier that when I saw the head on, there was virtually no room to go. And not only were you brave enough to go there, but so was Kubrick.
Yeah, well, it was just one of those races, especially probably the race before I'd nearly been put through the rails. So, it's amazing what the confidence that those good horses can give you. And I always knew that sort of I was going to be probably in that position, relying on a bit of luck, and just had to weigh up my options. And I just thought, well, I'll give it a little test. And when I put myself there, he seemed to be receptive to it. And I just give the rail a little nudge. He was on his way through, and he obviously had the ability and the bravery to get himself through the run.
How receptive to it were you, Brent?
$1 million race. It gave me a bit more of a dig to get through, but all's well that ends well.
Are you serious that literally prize money goes through your mind at that point? Like, that's a, you know, without putting too much of a slant on it, that's a life and death moment in many ways.
Yeah, well, like I said, the good horses, they can make you do some silly things, whether it's weight-wise, you know, ride lighter than what you usually do, or you know, these bigger races. And as well as the good horses, they can get you out of trouble, you know, in certain situations, you know, on another horse or whatever, you probably can't do that manoeuvre. But I just had that much faith in him sort of after I was riding throughout the run yesterday, and the blinkers on definitely helped him. And I just knew that, you know, if he gets half a sniff, he'll be out and he'll be through in two strides. But, you know, and he's turned a foot. You know, by the time I got halfway in there, I give him a bit of a dig again, and he was all the way out. So, like I said, everything worked out well, and it was just one of those races. I could probably try it next week, and it wouldn't happen.
Yeah, no, it was thrilling to watch, Brent. Your other winners yesterday, Grey Worm, Madame Rouge, and Romany Girl. Madame Rouge and the Nivison. She's a horse that the Chris Waller stable have always had an opinion of. Probably hadn't quite delivered, but this season she's gone to another level, Brenton.
Yeah, she did a good job. I actually hadn't ridden her, I don't think, since I won her maiden on her right, farm. Okay. And, you know, I suppose she had a 2 second up runs were probably below par, but again, they were probably two runs to 1400. So I just thought, well, maybe she can just, you know, Chris has left her at the 1400. So that's just a second up form. So. Just drew that little bit awkward, but she was able to get across into a great spot, trail on the leader, and she got the split at the right time and toughed it out. So she's talented man, she's got a bit of confidence now, and hopefully she can go on with it.
Grey Worm, back-to-back wins now. What's next for Grey Worm? What's your feel of the gelding?
Yeah, he's a gun little horse. You know, you wish you could turn up the races and have nine rides that are all Grey Worm. He bounces, he puts himself on speed, and you know, he's always there for you when you get stuck into him. So, look, I don't know sort of what level he can get to. He's obviously going to win probably more races than most, only because of his racing style and his toughness. But I suppose he's won his last two. He's probably stiff enough to win the one before that. And the race played, he won at Rose Hill. So he's obviously a horse in form. He knows how to win. I'd suggest he'd probably go to Melbourne and... he probably go to a little list of three races, and I'm sure that'll be he'd be good enough to be very competitive in one of those.
Yeah, no, he's been terrific. And just finally, Brenton, it's obviously spring carnival time. That's your focus at the moment. But your lovely wife Taylor, she's only about 3 or 4 weeks away from giving birth to your first child.
Yeah, at the moment we're about five.
Right. Five. Okay. Yeah.
everyone's got their opinion. Everyone's telling me she's going to go early. So we'll just say, there's a bit going on at the moment. So, look, it's obviously something that we're really looking forward to. Obviously life's going to change for the better.
Absolutely. Look, well, best of luck to you and to Taylor with the birth of your child.
Absolutely.
Very shortly. We wish you all the best there. Congratulations on a great day yesterday, Brenton, and thanks so much for joining us on a Sunday morning.
Thanks, boys.
Thanks, mate.
There he is, Brent Navdala. Big fan of his cricket too. Loves his cricket.
Good cricketer.
Fan.
Very good cricketer.
He
was. He was. He was a star cricketer in his youth, and he actually played with a. Oh, God, I think.
He plays in the jockeys game every year, doesn't he?
He's a star there.
Right,
he's leagues above him. He played with a guy. His best friend ended up playing for Australia. Oh, I don't forget his name.
All right, we'll come back to that, Raymond. That's a little bit of homework in
he's
the
a
news.
Star
just before we get to Tanya for the first time this morning. Morning, Ray, Tanya, and Jimmy. Today's talk topic: would the result have been different if Ben Hunt hadn't dropped the ball from the kickoff in Golden Point against the Cowboys?
Next set of six.
Cheers, Heather. Wow, I got him before Glenn. Yeah, so you did, Heather. Yes, that's, imagine.
Exactly. Next set of six, JT kicks the field goal.
Kicks
the
field goal
win.
And history is made. 2015, 13:53:53. Time now, though, to say good morning for the first time with Tanya.
Morning, boys. Morning, everyone. Racing in New South Wales today is at Coonabarabran and Port Macquarie. We have Townsville in Queensland, Port Lincoln in South Australia. Starting with Coonabarabran, the weather is fine. The track are good. Three, the rail true, and there are 17 scratchings. Race one, take out two, Gravitate. Number two, race two, number 10, Untamed Mistress. Number 10, from race three, number six, Absolute Control, and nine, Charlie Flyer. Six and nine, race four, 4, number 7, Dart Street, and 9, Babing Boon Boy, 7 and 9. Race 5, takeout 11, Sugar Lane, number 11. Race 6, number 13, Go Bojangles, 14, Salad Dodger, 15, Tatinja, and 16, Drummed Out, 13, 14, 15, and 16. Race 7, number 10, Vineyard, number 10. And race 8, takeout 10, Cassie's Sister, 13, All Hollywood, 14, Sniper Excels, 15, My Mill, and 18, Washington George, 10, 13, 14, 15, and 18 from race 8 at Coonabarabran. Port Macquarie, the weather is fine. The track a good 4. The rail out 2 metres the entire course and 23 scratchings. Race 1 is clear. Race 2, number 2, Terry Toughnut. 4, Dawn Thunder. 6, Line Up Girls. 10, Costanzia. 13, Ethne. 14, Jubileo Moon. And 16, Spirited Bell. 2, 4, 6, 10, 13, 14, and 16. Race 3, number 1, Bandahara. 2, Dance Haven. 7, Sassium. And 13, Skullcap. 1, 2, 7, and 13. From race 4, number 5, High Show. Number 5. Race 5, number 2, Mr. PK. And 12, Dad's Blaze. 2 and 12. Out of race 6, number 3, In Fiori. 5, Jet Ello. 11, Divisadero. 13, Chief Havoc, and 16, No Dreams, All Hope, 3, 5, 11, 13, and 16. And from race 7, number 3, Military Bay, 9, Gisella's Crown, 11, Tears He Cried, and 14, I'm Jacko, 3, 9, 11, and 14 from race 7 at Port Macquarie. And Townsville, the weather is fine, the track is soft, 5, the rail true. Just at this moment, there are 3 scratchings. They're only updated, not even interim yet. So they're out of race 3, number 8, Miss Esther, race 3, number 8, race 6, number 7, Crimson Halo, race 6, number 7, and race 7, number 10, Sweet June, race 7, number 10. Number 10 out of race 7.
Had some tongue
twisters
there,
at Townsville. Yeah. Yes, indeedy.
Speaking of sporting it. Apparel. See Tanya's little Premier's 2019 jacket.
Oh, I'll read it and weave.
Hang on. Co-Premier's.
No, they ran out of...
what happened to the co-premiers?
There wasn't enough thread, so they could only fit Premier 2019.
How convenient. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I don't care. Impressive.
Very good, very
are you,
good.
Are you impressed, Ian?
I am very impressed.
You've got to say that, Raymond. 1353 is the open line number. We'll take a break. We've got news coming up. After that, we've got Zorba. And, of course, we'll have... Oh, have you got... Did you put out some tips?
I didn't, yeah. No. Just quickly, yeah. Coonabarabran, race 6, number 3, Kenny Succeed. Into the last, race 8, number 1, Burning Crown. It's a bit short, but should win Burning Crown. And at Port Macquarie, race 2, number 1, Sir Baloney, bet of the day. Into race 3, number 4, Autumn Rain.
Put those out on social media. Zorba, John Hawke, Stewie Clark, and Brady Height.
Sarah Wombe, serial killer Ivan Milat, has died at the age of 74, 22 years into his prison sentence. Milat has been serving a life sentence since 1996 for the murders of 7 backpackers whose bodies were found in the Belangolo State Forest in the New South Wales Illawarra region. The detectives believe he may have been responsible for the deaths of at least 6 more people whose bodies have never been found. Milat had been travelling between the prisoners wing of the Prince of Wales Hospital and Long Bay Jail since being diagnosed with terminal cancer in May. He died in the hospital of Long Bay this morning. A woman has spent the night under police guard in hospital after her 2 young daughters were found dead in their Perth home. It's believed the girl's father discovered the girls aged 6 and 10 years old in their Madeley home. Their mother was found with injuries nearby. The Western Australian Premier Mark McGowan says support services will be provided at the victim's school.
It's one of those shocking, appalling, horrible, tragic things that sometimes happen and it affects all of us. We'll make sure that there is support for children at the school. My thoughts go out to the family of the young girls.
Thousands of Australians will today take part in an annual fundraising walk in support of premature babies and their families. Walk for Prems will take place at 12 locations around the country. As figures show, there are more than 48,000 premature or sick babies born in Australia every year. Shazana Morris from Life's Little Treasures Foundation says funds raised from today will help provide a range of support services.
Walk for Prems is in its 10th year, and it's a day where families who've been touched by a premature birth come together to walk and celebrate their little treasures and to remember the little angels who sadly haven't made it. It's also to help raise funds for the Life's Little Treasures Foundation so that we can continue to provide our critical support.
Also in news, hundreds of people have protested against plans to build a maximum security jail near the town of Westbury in northern Tasmania. In New South Wales, there's a total fire ban for the Greater Hunter, New England and Northern Slopes regions. A total fire ban remains in place for parts of northern Queensland as well as regions north of Brisbane due to dry and gusty conditions. And in Western Australia, there's a severe fire danger rating for the Pilbara and Midwest Gascoyne regions with hot, dry and windy conditions. Thousands of protesters have gathered in the Iraqi capital Baghdad in another day of demonstrations. Protests began 3 weeks ago against corruption, lack of jobs and economic hardship. At least 40 people died yesterday as demonstrators demand the government resign. The BBC's Yusuf Tahar explains.
Joblessness among the youth stands at 25%, and 1 in 5 Iraqis is below the poverty line, and therefore people have heard promises of a brighter future since the fall of Saddam Hussein. However, all those promises so far have been broken, and that explains the frustration among Iraqis.
And the driver of a truck in which 39 bodies were discovered near London has been charged with manslaughter. The 25-year-old is also facing charges of human trafficking, immigration and money laundering. 4 other people are in custody. This is Air News. The Western Sydney Wanderers are celebrating their stellar 1-0 victory over Sydney FC at Bankwest Stadium. The first Sydney derby drew a crowd of nearly 30,000. Earlier, Adelaide United down the Newcastle Jets 2-1. At the Rugby World Cup semi-final, England has defeated the New Zealand All Blacks 19-7. All Blacks captain Kieran Reid has told Channel 10 they missed opportunities.
You know, I think we'll look at that game and there'll be so many what-ifs and things that we could have done a lot better. You know, stage like this, you can't afford it. And cost us.
England will play the winner of tonight's second semi-final between Wales and South Africa. Australian skipper Aaron Finch says short-form specialist Andrew Tai will miss the entire T20 series against Sri Lanka due to an elbow injury.
I think it was one of the first handful of throws he did in a high-intensity drill. I think it was a bit of a sidearm slingy type throw and just felt a little pop in there. It's unfortunate for AJ. He'll see the specialist in the next couple of days.
Meantime, Finch has confirmed he's overcome a side injury and will play in today's series opener in Adelaide. Wins for Melbourne United and the Sydney Kings in the NBL. The Tonga Invitational side have beaten Great Britain 14-6 in New Zealand. Australia's Alex de Minaur's claimed victory against American Riley Opelka in 3 sets at the Swiss Indoors semi-finals. And the Red Bull Holdens made a 1-2 finish in yesterday's Supercars event on the Gold Coast. They'll be back in action later today for the weekend's feature race. Australian Independent Radio News.
Whether it's foals, weanlings, yearlings, broodmares, racehorses or stallions, HQ Insurance has you covered. Visit hqinsurance.com.au or call 02 8913 1640. Be sure, insure with HQ.
To get the most out of your spring racing experience, be sure to visit the Doncaster Hotel, Sydney's true home of racing. Located just a 5-minute stroll down Doncaster Avenue from Randwick Racecourse, the Doncaster is the place to be and be seen pre and post race for Sydney's racing crowd. Take advantage of the Doncaster's full tap facilities. Enjoy a meal in their renowned restaurant or just dance and sing the night away to the music of DJ Carbolic. Get the good oil and a cold beer at the Doncaster Hotel, where racing people go.
Nova Employment has been matching businesses to staff with ability for over 28 years and have an unbeatable track record of success. Nova can assist businesses of all sizes.
I'm Peter from Patterson's Patisserie. We've hired an apprentice baker from Nova Employment. His hard work and dedication has made him a great addition to our business. I'd recommend other employers focus on ability.
Recruiting? Choose Nova Employment, Sydney's premier disability employment service. Visit novaemployment.com.au.
Odds
Sky Sports Radio, the traffic report.
At Stu's, Velocity members can save up to 40% off regular prices, plus earn one Velocity frequent flyer point per $1 spent. T's and C's at snooze.com.au. In Glebe, late finishing roadworks, Bridge Road at Wentworth Park Road. In Leichhardt, Norton Street's closed between Marion and William Streets today for a festival, and the Seven Bridges Walk is on today. Some minor road closures in Lilyfield, Hunters Hill, Milsons Point and Lane Cove. Buy a new Domain home before the end of the month and you'll beat the price rise and enjoy $25,000 off. T's and C's apply. Head to domainhomes.com.au. I'm Tim Govers, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
On the Big Sports Breakfast, Interstate Weather.
And we'll go around the country now. Sydney today heading for a sunny day, top temperature of 23 degrees. Melbourne, some showers developing and just 17 degrees. Brisbane, mostly sunny, top of 30. Over in Perth, warm day, top of 35 degrees. A lot of sunshine in Perth. Adelaide, cloudy, top of just 19 degrees. Hobart, a few showers and 16. Up in Darwin, a little bit cooler for Darwin. James, just 30 degrees today. A shower or two, possible storm as well. It's unusual. But you've had a second look, haven't you? Because it's never like that. Canberra, mostly sunny and 20 degrees.
Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. 1353-53, that is the Apple line number. Jimmy Smith and Ray Thomas. Up until, well, I'm up until 9 o'clock, Roman.
You're bailing out early.
I'm upskilling today. Yeah. Upskilling, as we say in the classics.
What exactly that mean?
That means I'm there for the presentation of a project, a group project that I've been working on for my MBA course that I'm doing at the moment.
So you're walking out on us.
Pretty much.
Early
doors. Can't wait to get out, to be honest. 1353-53 is the open line number. No, I say that for... Look at you. You've taken it to heart, haven't you?
I have, yeah.
We are holding over the quiz.
You paid full freight for your shift today?
We are.
I would have thought so, yeah, as you would say. Two-thirds of a job, but you're getting full freight.
We are holding over the quiz until after 9 o'clock, which fills me with dread.
Are we?
Yeah, we are, apparently.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I'll just presume.
You're the schmuck.
Okay. Exactly.
I think the great man Jared Daffy's going to
hang on. Just a minute. Jared Daffy from tab.com.au will be playing on my behalf.
Correct.
Not my greatest
fan. Great point, Ray.
Yeah. Not my greatest fan. Anyway, I would anticipate, given the current score is 24 points to 18, I would anticipate...
How many weeks to go, James? Is it unassailable yet?
No, not yet.
Mathematically, you're still a chance?
Mathematically, I'm a chance.
You can still make the finals?
That's right. I would anticipate going down 25-18 after this morning. I don't even know what's happening this morning. I just know it's a boat race. We have a predetermined outcome, is what I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen. Coming up very shortly, we'll have a chat with Zorb. We can talk a lot of international rugby league. John Hawkes is on the program too. You'll hear John Hawkes only on this program, which is great. And we'll have a Stuart Clark interview about the upcoming cricket season. Brady Hyde will give us all the latest from the NFL. And, of course, a Major League Baseball update. We're in the middle of a World Series. Not the two biggest teams of all time, isn't it?
It's been Washington a long time Nationals. Since the Washington Nationals have been the World Series. 60-odd years or something.
Up against the Houston Astros.
Yeah.
Watching a bit of it yesterday. Greinke, good pitcher.
You're a Yankees man, aren't you?
I'm a Yankees man.
Yeah, our men bailed.
Yes, very disappointing around that one. 1353-53, the open line number. The talk topic...
Depending
which one you're talking about.
It's hijacked.
Yeah, exactly. What about this? Ray's talk topic. Tiger's red shirt on every Sunday of a major.
Ah, good point.
That's a good one. Jimmy's talk topic. Steve Harmison's opening ball in the home Ashes of 2006. Do I get two cases of wingman if I get
That's
both
very
through?
Clever,
That's
Mitch.
Mitch from Tamworth.
Was Harmison, was that ball to Langer and clocked him?
No.
The one at the Gabba.
He hit Ricky Ponting at Lords in 2005, split him under the eye.
Yes, no. Mitch talking about the one at the Gabba.
The one, yeah.
Went to second slip.
Which Freddie Flintoff at second slip just took so laconically, threw it straight to gully, and at that point everyone thought, right, Ash is gone.
5-0.
That's very good,
yeah,
Mitch.
Yeah, I like that one.
Actually, I was going to write something down, but I won't be here, so it's up to Ray.
Oh, pressure's on.
Yeah, I'm going to put all the
owners. I'll take more notice of this. Because you normally.
So hang on, just to clarify, you're going to take more notice of what happens on the program now.
No.
All right. Well, hopefully you're going to listen to our next guest, Zorb. We have him on every Sunday, and there's always something going on in the world of rugby league. Morning, Zorb.
Morning, Jimmy. Morning, Ray.
Morning, Pete.
Hey, mate, I made the point, and I was watching that game on Friday night thinking to myself, this is an iconic sporting jersey, and perhaps we don't, I don't know whether revere is the right word, but they are a hugely successful team, the Kangaroos, and maybe they don't get the plaudits they deserve. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they've been great for so long. It really does hit the headlines when they get beaten. And in a weekend when week after our rugby side dipped out of the World Cup so poor, you know, so meekly, it just makes you doubly proud of them. But I think we're going to be doubly proud of our women's team too. I think it's amazing what they've done in a short period of time. They've shown rugby how to promote women's football, to get serious about it. All that momentum, that wonderful momentum from the Olympic Games gold medal, has gone in rugby. And the real athletes now in women's sport, in football, are playing rugby league. I mean, the skill of Brigginshaw, kicking of her and Kira Gibb, the power of Millie Boyle, who is a rugby union convert, the centres, Sturgis and Kelly, imagine them in rugby. I mean, they're just stars, those two girls. It was a great game. The Kiwis were a tough side, down 18-4 at halftime. They beat 28-8. But I want to give the coach, Brad Donald, who we don't know a lot about, I want to congratulate him. To have the courage, to have the side try to do things so differently, kicking on the first tackle from a scrum for tries, something that we don't see in the men's game anymore because we've been so regimented in how we play the game.
Yeah.
But here's the women's team with a young coach that obviously has them eating out of his hand, doing what he's suggesting they do, and he's so innovative. Congratulations to them, and I think it's showed great courage and great skill. I've always believed that our coaches in rugby league have so much of a part to play. And I think the first NFL coach that gets a rugby league coach to work there for a couple of years to show them what they can do with forward passes and runarounds and inside passes and flicks, that NFL team will go to heights that you've never seen before. And it's going to happen. So the penny's going to drop somewhere.
Well, that's an interesting thought, isn't it?
I'll tell you what, has anyone ever done the mathematics on short kickoffs? Like, that's a little part of the game, right?
But exactly.
You know, what I have to look at that and think, surely there's benefit in rather than 100% turning over the ball from a kickoff.
Yep.
I don't know whether it's 50%, whether it's 40%, whether it's 30%, getting the ball back from a short kickoff.
Can I ask you?
Yeah, that's the one thing they do well in rugby, and they do it with drop kicks as well.
Yeah.
We can't drop kick to save our lives. Mm.
Do the NRL teams practice that enough? Defending a short kickoff? Because often games...
Yeah, they do, but we just don't... We don't try it enough. As Jimmy said, we're too regimented. We don't try things until we're desperate.
Yeah, fair enough. Hey, well, Zorb, can I ask you a question? I asked Jimmy earlier. Great Britain are down in this part of the world. Australia will play Tonga next week in an international. Great Britain will play New Zealand. Why isn't Australia playing Great Britain?
Well, after last night... Ray,
But they're here.
It's the first Great Britain touring side for a long time.
Exactly.
2006.
This is Great Britain.
Yeah.
They haven't toured for a long time, and I think they're probably afraid of what might happen because of what was happening prior to them ceasing to come here. Tonga, Great Britain, I learned something last night, and I don't like to knock great players, but Josh Hodgson is regarded as the best hooker in the game next to Cameron Smith.
Yes.
He's a greedy player. I watched him last night. I would hate to play halfback to him. He plays his game, and when it's a dead end, he shovels it. But you don't know what he's going to do. I mean, a dummy half has got to get his back line moving. He doesn't do that. He jumps out from dummy half. He kicks from dummy half. He takes over the game. And it's okay at Canberra because he doesn't have a dominant halfback. I thought he killed a debut of Jackson Hastings last night. Hastings got the ball when Hodgson decided he couldn't do anything with it. It didn't look good.
Yeah, there's a fine line between...
I don't like seeing selfish players.
There's a fine line between overplaying your hand, isn't it? That's the danger that Josh Hodgson runs into. What about Jake and Tom? Have you signed them up yet? Gee, there's a lot of interest in these two players, or...?
Well, there's a lot of kite flying going on by journalists that really aren't doing their homework. The facts are on Jake and Tom, and we read again this week where they're supposedly going to the Bulldogs. The Bulldogs can't sign anyone. The fact is not many players want to go there, and I don't blame them. They're a rabble at the moment off the field. The kite flying journalists are in their element as the November 1 deadline approaches.
Yes.
Player managers use these journalists to up the ante on their players in a greedy grab for more money. Now, Latrell Mitchell, David Fifita, Tom and Jake are the headline players at the moment because their contracts, November 1st, they can go on the open market. And as I said, the Bulldogs are the club getting touted for most. Now, Tom and Jake will sign close to the November 1 deadline. Des Hassel will get around it this week. Desi's not moving too well at the moment. He's got until November the 4th to throw away his newfound friend, his walking stick.
His what?
His walking stick.
Well, has he had a knee injury or something? What's he got a walking stick?
He's had a hip operation. For a quiet one.
Right.
Now, his players, if they see Des with a walking stick, they will A, saw it in half,
yes.
B, paint it pink, or three, just steal it. He's working hard to get to November the 4th, which is only a few days away, to get rid of his walking stick. What he's going to do with the Trbojevic's, in his own words, are that he will treat them with the respect that they deserve. The offer will be in keeping with what they're worth on the open market and what's been offered by other clubs. He will deal with them because he now considers them absolute adults and really don't need to have his parents or, well, his manager's got to be involved, but his manager works for SFX. And the boss of SFX is George Mimas, who is joined at the hip with Des Hasler. Now, George is boss of that international company in Australia. Des Hasler has done all of his contracts, and he's a tough man to deal with George Mimas. So George Mimas and Des will sort this out with the boys, not with his parents this time, with their parents this time. They've already shunned the Bulldogs. I don't know how many times they want to say they don't want to go there. There is a feeling at Manly that they might go to the NRL and say that the players have been approached by a third party representing the Bulldogs up to 6 months ago. They rejected that meeting. They said they didn't want to go, they don't want to leave the club, and they don't particularly want to go to the Bulldogs. I don't know how many times the Bulldogs have got to be told that they won't be getting Tom and Jake, but we might as well do it on air one more time. I don't like kite flying journalists. Send them up, you get one right out of about 10, and then you poke your chest out.
Geez, you've opened up a Pandora's box there. If anyone who had made an approach before they're allowed to is made public.
Well, they could easily make it public.
By the way, no conflict of interest for George Mimas, given the fact he manages the coach and the players?
Well, how many times the coaches, you know, manage coaches and players that they're dealing with?
And
it happens every week.
True. Yes. And then the other point is, greedy managers, well, isn't their job to get them as much money as they can?
Well, it is their job to do that, but it's not their job to do something that the players don't want them to do. If the players have already rejected flatly to even have a meeting or to go and talk to anybody and they said, no, we're not interested, for them to keep trying, I think, is, well, I suppose they've got to do that when you're down as far as they are on the ladder.
Oh, jeez. They finished very strongly, the Dogs, but anyway.
No, they just finished.
Almost made the
final. Listen, just on Jake and Tom, will Manly need to shed players if they are to retain them at, well, as adults?
Question. That's a good question.
As adults.
They've got the money for them now.
They've got, so they can keep DCE as well?
Yep.
Okay, all three. So it'd be the Melbourne Storm system.
Yeah, pay the top players.
Pay the top players, right. What about Marty Tapau and Adam Fanua Blake and Dylan Walker? What do they get paid?
They're all signed.
Right, okay. So they must be getting nothing.
Well, if you want to live in God's country, you pay.
Oh, come on.
Phil's got to answer for everything.
Just getting back to that test match on Friday night in Wollongong. Congratulations to the people of Wollongong.
Yes.
And, to the Illawarra.
Yeah.
I thought that. And I've given Melman Inger a couple of touch-ups of late, but I want to give him a big tick on this one. I think taking the side to Kiama, mixing with the people like they did in Kiama, it's a beautiful town by the beach in a lovely setting. The players loved it. The kids in the area had access to Australia's greatest football team. And 18,000 turned up. In Wollongong. I thought that was a salute to the team being visible. And one thing Meninga does well, he gets his team out into the community. That was a just reward, and it was terrific. And I don't think we're all that good. I think just 10 minutes of brilliant play by Damien Cook, or 6 minutes of brilliant play, where he scored a try and set one up, gave Australia a big lead, and the best thing about the Kiwis was an outstanding haka. The facial expressions were something terrifying. Sean Johnson, again, disappointed.
Yes.
I thought Cordner was a great leader for Australia. Origin, country, and club premiership in 1 year. First New South Welshman to do that. I think it was good that Rabbits Warren was again calling the test match. Maybe one more year for Rabbits was signified by his appearance there. It was great to hear his dulcet tones again. Benji Marshall, 20 caps as captain of New Zealand.
Yes.
I don't think he played all that well, but they've still got a little bit of work to do. I love the Tonga, Great Britain passion in that game, and Australia will have its work cut out overcoming the power of Tonga, at least in the first half of their game next weekend. I look forward to that, and congratulations to Christian Wolf. I thought he's a coach on the rise. He's going to be coaching at St Helens next year, and his job with Tonga has been a very good one. And congratulations also to the skipper of the Tongans. I thought Taki Ayo, on and off the field, was just exemplary.
Yes.
And that young man is a heck of a footballer, and he's a heck of a human being too. Watching him at the pre- and post-match interviews to talk about the passion of wearing his island country's jersey every time he pulls it on, I thought was just great.
Yes, yes.
And I thought that young Tessie Niu, 18 years of age, debuting for Tonga. It's a beautiful story. They tried him in the nines, and the senior players were that impressed with him. They went to the coach and said, look, we'll throw in money to bring him to New Zealand with us. We want him in the side somewhere at the first opportunity. And when they got that opportunity, they put him straight in. And what a young player he is.
Yeah, fantastic. Good on you, Zorb. We'll speak next Sunday.
Look forward to it.
There we go. Take your thoughts on Peter's thoughts this morning, 1353-53. A break and back with more.
Wherever you are in New South Wales, Sky Sports Radio's there too. On Deniliquin, 88 FM. Cootamundra, 87.6 FM. Woolgoolga, 88 FM. And Jerilderie, 87.6 FM.
To get the most out of your spring racing experience, be sure to visit the Doncaster Hotel, Sydney's true home of racing. Located just a 5-minute stroll down Doncaster Avenue from Randwick Racecourse, the Doncaster is the place to be and be seen pre and post race for Sydney's racing crowd. Take advantage of the Doncaster's full tap facilities. Enjoy a meal in their renowned restaurant, or just dance and sing the night away to the music of DJ Carbolic. Get the good oil and a cold beer at the Doncaster Hotel, where racing people go. Whether it's foals, weanlings, yearlings, broodmares, racehorses or stallions, HQ Insurance has you covered. Visit hqinsurance.com.au or call 02 8913 1640. Be sure, insure with HQ.
Sydney's newest must-see home renovation destination is now open. Wideline Windows and Doors state-of-the-art Liverpool showroom features an impressive range of residential, designer and architectural designs on display. Experience window shopping like never before. See how your home will look and feel with our stunning contemporary 310 square metre showroom, plus find solutions to improve energy efficiency, acoustics, privacy and security. Wideline Liverpool will bring your home reno vision to life. Located at 12 Home Pride Avenue, Warwick Farm, open 6 days.
What are we needy?
Here's what one of the USA's leading drivers, Jody Jameson, had to say about him after he retired as the fastest horse on the planet.
What are we needy was one of the best horses I ever drove, bar none. Some of the fastest quarters a horse has ever paced. What are we needy paced those quarters. He's come quarters in 25 seconds. Tall, beautiful horse, clean-legged, powerful, powerful strides, and an amazing brain, which is very important when you're racing in Australasia. Just an amazing animal, and I'm sure he'll do wonders here down under.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. 1353 is the open line number. Just before we get to this live read, Jimmy, it's the event that gets the crowd, not the venue. What chance Roosters supporters filing into the new Allianz Stadium for home games? ANZ the exception. It's always been a dud venue. That's no name on that one. I disagree. The venue is part of the attraction with Bankwest Stadium. We saw it last night in the A-League.
The atmosphere is electric.
Wingman Beer, they've got your back, Roman. They're so excited by the new Wingman mid-strength, 3.5%. Crisp, clean, never bitter lager. They're putting out a challenge. Next time you pick up your regular beer, grab a single can of Wingman, 3.5%, test it back-to-back with your beer, and if it's not the cleanest, tastiest, crispest lager you've ever had, take it back. And Wingman will refund your money.
It's hard to argue.
And especially when you haven't paid any money for your Wingman beer, Raymond.
You can't say that. People want to go out and buy this.
Yeah,
buy it. You want to endorse the said product. You don't want to tell people you get it for free.
Go to wingmanbeer.com.au to see where they've landed. And if you can't find it at your local, give them a call on 1300 45 beer, or go to danmurphys.com.au and they will deliver it for free.
Outstanding stuff.
danmurphys.com.au. Take the Wingman Challenge today. Enjoy responsibly.
Wine, 2 lengths clear from Morris, going to a clear second. The field is well strung out. Master of Wine rips away, mopped the floor with them there in the City Tats Club Cup. Morris second, Master
on Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
And welcome back to the show. That was Master of Wine again, winning the Tats Cup. Most impressive winner of the day, I thought, at Randwick yesterday. Team Hawks had three winners, two at Randwick and one at Moonee Valley with Ammon Geary. And John Hawks has been good enough to join us this morning. John, good morning.
Morning, Ray. Jimmy.
Hey, John.
Congratulations, mate. And firstly, Master of Wine, John, he looks a really really promising horse. He's still in the Melbourne Cup, but is it going to come around a little bit too soon for him this year?
Yeah, he's still in it. We left him in it, but he's not ready for something like that at this stage of his career. He's only a young horse, been lightly raced. We've looked after him, and we'll just let the dust settle a few days. Whether he might run in the Queen Elizabeth or go to the paddock, we'll just see. Yep. We'll see, but he won't run. You know, we're not worried about the Melbourne Cup. Just come around too quick for him. No.
Yeah, and that's one of the things, John, and I think it's pretty much typical of your yard. We see it a lot, but that ability to be patient, and I guess you have to get buy-in from everyone, especially the owners, for that.
That's part of it. You know, we're Team Hawks, but the whole our owners never are a great team, and you know, they give us the opportunity to train the horses, and we try and do the right thing for the horse, which in turn does the right thing for the owners. So you know, I said, if the owners are patient, you know, you'll generally get a result most times out of 10, but a lot of people, unfortunately, are a little bit, you know, always want to, you know, go one too far, and some things can always go wrong between now and next year. But you got to plan, and you just got to, you know, and that's what it's all about, is planning, and sometimes it comes off, sometimes it doesn't.
Exactly, yeah. Well, Master Wine looks a star in the making. John, I don't know if Grey Worm is as naturally gifted as Master of Wine, but you'd love to have a stable full of Grey Worms. He just tries his heart out.
Yeah, no, his record says enough, but he's just been a slow maturing horse. But the key with those sort of horses is gelding them when they're younger or early. Problem today is everybody wants colts, and they finish up with slow colts instead of a good racehorse. So, and the owners were, you know, gelded him really early, you know, and that's where it's all about, where your owner's doing the right thing by the horse.
Mm-hmm. Grey Worm, we spoke to Brent Abdullah.
Yeah, very nice horse, Grey Worm.
Yeah, absolutely. What's the thoughts on that one, John?
No, he's going to the paddock. He's you know, he's done a great job this prep, so boys and I have decided, even if he won yesterday, that it's time to give him a break, and he should come back a little bit better horse in the autumn, and, you know, he'll be a low-grade group horse somewhere there, and as I said, he's only gone from restricted to open company this prep, so not many horses can do that, but he's earned a spell, and he'll come back a little bit better again.
Yeah. And John, in the last at the Valley yesterday, Ammon Geary, who's part-owned by your wife Jenny, and also Michael's wife Claire, well, that would have made the boys very popular in the home front. A terrific win, a very gutsy win by the mare.
Yeah, it was. She hasn't had a lot of luck, and things panned out pretty good yesterday, albeit the saddle slip, which didn't exactly help. But you know, she's been on, and she's been knocking on the door. And, yeah, look, it was a good result for everybody. It's a family horse, and as I said, to win a group race with any filly is really good, but to do it with all the family, you know, it's pretty darn good.
Mm. Golden Eagle coming up next week. I think everyone's excited about that. How's Brutal tracking for the race?
Yeah, no, he's really good. He's come through his, you know, last run really good, and he's heading there this week, so we're really looking forward to that. He's a lovely horse, and as I said, he's, you know, well, he should have won last week too, so he should have two for two. But anyway, next week's a different ball game, and as I said, it's going to be a little bit tougher race. But 1,500 on his home track, and the set weight suits him, so he's certainly going to be in it for a long way.
$3.80 favourite at Tab. Arcadia Queen at $4.20. Classic Legend at $5.
Yeah, big race at Barry Draw. So important, isn't it, John, for the Golden Eagle? Hey, John, before we let you go, can I get your thoughts on the Cox Plate and particularly the winner, Liz Grassier? I hope I'd get it wrong every time, John. The Japanese mare. I just thought she was outstanding yesterday. Your thoughts on her win?
Oh, yeah, she was brilliant. You know what I mean? You know, I mean, the Japanese, you know, they've got some, you know, really high-class horse, but she just got such an electric turn of foot, you know, as I said. And, mate, to win like she did, only, you know, real A-graders, you know, can do that. And I'm sure she, you know, she'll win again, you know, whether it be in Australia or back in Japan. But they can't win much better than what she won yesterday. And she's a really high-class mare. And like everything, you got to travel. Mm. And for any horse to travel and win like that, that must be a really good result for the owners and the trainers and everybody concerned.
Yeah. And John, are the Japanese just that much better than our middle distance staying horses?
Well, I think, you know, they're in Europe. They breed for those sort of horses. That's one problem we've got in Australia now, is we don't breed stayers.
Yeah.
And that's part of the, and you can see that in the Melbourne Cup and even all the staying races, and they're all coming from Europe and everywhere else. So, you know, Australia desperately needs one or two good staying stallions now that the Beale's gone. So it makes it very hard, but everybody in Australia, they just want to breed for speed. Well, there's a lot of money in staying races, and unfortunately, if they don't, the Europeans and the Japanese are going to continue to just take our money and take it back overseas.
Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah, that's well put. Yeah. Good on you, John. Congratulations on the team's efforts yesterday. The wins were outstanding, and appreciate your time this morning.
Thanks, Jimmy. Thanks, Ray.
Thanks, John.
There he is, John Hawkes, Hall of Fame trainer, and good to have him on the program. What, he would have been sitting at home just watching the
race? I think he was in Melbourne yesterday.
Oh,
yeah.
Was he?
Yeah, with Ammon Geary and that. So,
okay.
A terrific day, yes.
Yeah, right, there you go. Now, is this a comedy show? Well, you clearly know, Kiwi Jim. Rugby league coach to revolutionise the NFL, that'll do me. It makes me laugh on a very sad day. League played in three states, barely two English counties, and a village in France. Jimmy thinks the kangaroo shirt is one of the great iconic strips of the world. Kiwi Jim, soaking up the benefits. Yeah, go on. We keep paying him. That's a ridiculous thing, Kiwi Jim. 1353-53, the open line number. John's on the line. G'day, John.
G'day, Jimmy. G'day, Ray. Here.
Morning, John.
Mate, they're out of the square comments or actions in sport, mate.
Yes.
Cox Plate weekend. Can you get any worse than Kingston Town can't win?
Yeah, very good point. Yeah. Bill Collins would love to have that one back again, wouldn't he, John?
Yeah. Well, in saying that, Ray, he looked like he couldn't win at the
time. Yeah, true, yeah.
If you remember, he had that bad leg.
Yep.
And he favoured it on those turns, mate, you know, so that I was at that Cox Plate, Ray, by the way. That was
that's still
the best I've seen.
And that was also the day Manicato broke $1 million, too, in a sprint race.
Yep. Following race, he became the second horse to crack $1 million.
That's right. Yeah,
after Kingston Town.
Would have been a great
quickly, fellas, just want to have a quick talk to you as well about Raylene Castle. Mm. It seems like all the spotlight is on Michael Chetta. But, fellas, it's been a bit of a disaster so far in the couple of years that she's been in office over there, don't you think?
My question or my comment around that would be congratulations on her bravery in taking the job. That was a poison chalice. She tipped out Phil Kearns for it, the former Wallabies great,
yep.
And he's probably thinking right now, thank heavens
I
didn't get that job.
Yeah,
exactly. Because it is very difficult circumstances in which they find themselves, John. Good on you, mate. We appreciate that. By the way, got a text message here from Shane. Good on you, Shane. South Canterbury Cup. Canterbury Cup New South Wales, 76% success rate on short dropouts. Mm. We wanted the maths on it, and there it is. So
There you go.
So
my good friend Andy Hill, he just said, hi, Jimmy's car keys, so he can't leave early. Then you can get full freight for your shift. Instead of a two-third shift.
It's a ridiculous idea.
I'd love to see the invoice you put in.
53, the Apple line number. Anthony's on the line. Hello, Anthony.
Good morning.
Before
I give you Jimmy's talk, Tommy.
Yeah. Running a distant second at the moment.
To Sydney FC fans, the rule is the whole ball has to be over the line. Now, the base of the ball was over the line, but were the wings of the ball over the line?
Anthony, you could have put another ball over the line.
Yeah, well, we'll see. We haven't got the proof of that. The talk of it.
Haven't got the proof of it. I saw it.
Yeah, no, you only saw it from the side. You didn't see it from the top.
Oh, no, you saw the angle.
It looks like it's over the line, Anthony. It really does.
If it looks like a duck,
it is.
And it walks like a duck. And it quacks like a duck.
What did Arnold say to us when he was coaching? Look at the scoreboard.
Yeah, it's true. You're obviously a Wanderers fan. Oh, but good on you.
Clearly.
Great atmosphere.
The history changing events. I've got three very quick ones.
Yep.
When Glenn McGrath didn't turn the ball.
Yes.
Edge Baston.
The
serial pest who put a whore who come on, who ripped down the nets when Australia were cruising at 2-0 against Iran in the World Cup qualifier.
Yes. Correct. Yes.
And if Malcolm Johnson knew where the clock tower was.
Oh, hang on. Leave our little mate Malcolm alone. There.
No, I'm good on Mel. I enjoyed Mel, but Peter Cook wrote him better.
Oh, Ray, comments?
Peter Cook only wrote him the once.
However,
AE2 Cox Plate.
Based on Anthony's comments, where do you sit on that?
I've discussed this with Mel many, many times over the years, and he didn't ride that horse any differently than how he rode him virtually every other time.
A usual kickoff normally has you defending the first 30-odd metres out, and a short one only costs you 20 metres with the chance of getting possession. That's from Scooter. That's the point, Scooter.
Yeah.
But now we've got the mathematics. Thank you, Shane, talking about the Rabbitohs Canterbury Cup side. 1353-53. That is the open line number. We're going to take a break, and after that, we'll have a chat with Stewie Clark.
At Wingman, we've got your back. We're so excited by our new Wingman mid-strength 3.5% crisp, clean, never-bitter lager. We're putting out a challenge. Next time you buy your beer, grab a single can of Wingman 3.5%, and if it's not the cleanest, tastiest, crispest lager you've ever had, take it back, and Wingman will refund your money. Visit wingmanbeer.com.au to see where we've landed. And if you can't find us at your local, call us on 1300 45 BIG. Take the Wingman Challenge today. Now also available online with Dan Murphy's. Enjoy responsibly.
There's a proportion of the population who can stay seated when they see a horse or two on television. They just look and think to themselves, there's a fast horse, and barely move a muscle. But then there are people who would see that horse and think, look at that beautiful three-year-old filly fly. And no amount of force could keep them seated. They'd be compelled to stand and cheer and encourage that good thing home. We're those people. Tab, long may we play.
Gamble responsibly. Call Gamblers Help 1-800-858-858.
To get the most out of your spring racing experience, be sure to visit the Doncaster Hotel, Sydney's true home of racing. Located just a 5-minute stroll down Doncaster Avenue from Ramwick Racecourse, the Doncaster is the place to be and be seen pre- and post-race for Sydney's racing crowd. Take advantage of the Doncaster's full tap facilities. Enjoy a meal in their renowned restaurant or just dance and sing the night away to the music of DJ Carbolic. Get the good oil and a cold beer at the Doncaster Hotel, where racing people go.
It's coming. The richest race in the West. The social event of the season. And your biggest day to play. So grab your suit, dress to the nines, and get ready to cheer until your voice goes hoarse. The Eagle is coming. The Golden Eagle. Saturday, November 2nd, Rosehill Gardens. Tab. Long may we play.
Gamble responsibly. Call Gamblers Help 1-800-858-858.
Great save from Perry. Throws up the keeper. There, it's a direct hit. What an over. Sixers dominating. Stars 4-5 down. And Martin departs.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. Going from strength to strength, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Ever since we cut out that dead wood that used to exist here in the form of former Australian fast bowler Stewie Clark, we'll get to him.
You can't say things like that.
We'll get to him very shortly. But Raymond, international cricket.
He's a good
cricket.
Man, Stewie.
I know, he's a good fellow. International cricket on today.
I know.
Didn't that creep up on
it
us?
Did.
Yeah.
I didn't even know until you told me this morning. I'm in a bubble, though. But it gives us something to watch this afternoon.
It does give us something to watch this afternoon. The T20 coming to you from Adelaide Oval. And to preview that, and of course, the summer will be Stewie Clark very shortly. But this is incredible, isn't it? That this is the marquee team in Australian sport, right? It covers across all states, and yet there we are. We didn't know that this game was coming up, and I know that you're a lover of cricket as much as anyone in this country. We've got Pakistan and New Zealand out for the Test series this year, and from what I understand, ticket sales have been lukewarm. Lukewarm.
We'll be at one of the days of the test. You'll be there for sure, won't you?
Will you pay for that ticket,
SCG?
Ray?
Most likely, yeah.
Most likely.
Yeah. I don't get the to your little gigs that you do. Have at the SCG all the time.
Most likely.
You at the ground, James? Yes, I'm doing a gig at the luncheon. Sorry, I'll catch up later. And I never see you all day.
That's a very interesting
busy
comment.
Burning the folding stuff.
1353 53, the open line number. Lots of people having their say. I tell you what, this is interesting. Hi, team. Hallelujah. Zorba is the first person I have heard call out the selfish play of Josh Hodgson. He isn't as great as everybody makes out, only the play come off with one-on-one strip, but that's what you expect from a bomb. That's from Bunny Boy. That's a little bit harsh, Bunny Boy, but I think he can overplay his hand at times. Josh Hodgson had a fabulous season for the Canberra Raiders. Let's not underestimate that. 1353 53, the open line number. James is on the line. G'day, James.
Yeah, good, fellas. Just on that topic of someone was sort of knocking International Rugby League a bit earlier.
Yes.
I don't think people are aware of some of the obstacles that Rugby League's got internationally.
Go ahead.
Yeah, there's an organisation called the GSIAF. It used to be called the Sports Accord.
Yes.
Right. Now, that organisation is designated to give recognition to an international sport. And therefore, if you have that recognition, you can get funding off government.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Rugby League hasn't got that recognition. Unfortunately, another code has been lobbying against Rugby League gaining that recognition. It's mainly Rugby Union. And unfortunately, and this has been happening for decades, and Rugby League only received observer status in the last year or so.
Is this the reason?
When people like, for instance, in South Africa or any country, when someone wants to start up a rugby league development, they go, and if they're not rugby league friendly, like the way the setup is over there or in other countries as well, they'll say, oh, sorry, you're not registered as an international sport. You don't get our funding. And it goes to, obviously, you know, another code.
Yeah, yeah. James, it's a very interesting point that you bring up.
Is he on the money there? Because I hadn't heard of that.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so we get blanketed by coverage of rugby league in this state and, in, of course, north of here in Brisbane. And it's true, you know, the north of England and New Zealand and that's about it. We've got a few Pacific Island nations that are very big in it, but mostly those players play in the National Rugby League, right? So, but James is exactly right. So the game is not actually acknowledged and certainly not promoted in many other territories around the world, and one of those reasons is because of the implications associated with its emergence for the code of rugby union.
So by inference, particularly those smaller Pacific Island nations would have very little funding, is that what you're saying?
Well, I think they've got very little funding for rugby as well, it must be said. But other nations, you mentioned South Africa, I can tell you that in England they try to align touch rugby over there, touch rugby league, which is a rugby league, a form of rugby league.
Yeah.
The rugby union, the rugby football union, is lobbying very strongly with them to be a part of rugby. And what does that do, Ray?
It takes money away.
It takes money away because you get your participation numbers up and then you go to the government and say, look at all these people that are playing our sport. You've got to give us some funding and give us a per head funding. Oh, yeah, these thousands of people, they're part of our sport. 13-53-53.
Soto with two away. And that's going to do it. Juan Soto caught looking at a called strike three and the Astros are into the win column for the first time in this World Series.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Yeah, it was certainly a big response after the Washington Nationals went out to a 2-0 lead. The Houston Astros fight back. We've got Game 4 on today. Our man over in LA is Brady Hyde. He joins us on the line. Hello, Brady.
Good morning, Jim. Good morning.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Talk us through this game today and the response. Can I just say, and we were saying a little bit earlier, Brady, it's not really a marquee series, is it, by any stretch?
It's still a World Series.
I understand it's a World Series, but there's no Dodgers, there's no Red Sox, there's no New York Yankees.
Correct. And so, you know, I mean, being in the L.A. market, every Dodgers fan is really upset with the Astros for having beat them in the World Series. You know, so I just think that the fans in L.A. definitely are for the Nationals. That's what I'm feeling here. But, no, neither team. I mean, the Nationals, I think, were lucky to make the playoffs. They got in on like, the last game of the season and then played a one-game wild card. And the Astros, you know, they're not a huge market the way New York or Boston are.
No.
And so, you know, you got two teams that are obviously very good, but not with the biggest following by any means.
NBA opening round, Brady, and what did you make of the Lakers and Clippers game?
Oh, this was exciting, guys. So we've got, obviously, LeBron James playing with Anthony Davis, but probably the biggest free agent signing in the offseason was Kawhi Leonard coming over to the Clippers from the Toronto Raptors, who just won the NBA title.
Yeah.
And he brought along a guy named Paul George, I think you guys are familiar with. Paul George is injured right now, but the Lakers squared off against the Clippers at Staples Center. It was a home game for the Clippers. I was dialed in on that. And the Lakers made runs, but the Clippers' defense is so much better than the Lakers. The offense just wasn't enough on the Lakers' behalf to get it done. And then the Clippers went out a couple nights later up to Golden State and beat the Warriors, who, you know, I think, as a lot of the viewers know, are the best team in the past 5 years, having won three titles. You know, they lost Kevin Durant. They've got an injury to Klay Thompson, who's one of their sharpshooters. So that the Warriors aren't the team that they were the past 5 years, but the Clippers, to me, definitely are the the NBA title contenders in the opening go here.
We get very excited about our NBA here in Australia for a lot of reasons. It's got a very big punting turnover, but also the number of Aussies that are involved in it too, Brady. I think I was reading during the course of the week, I think we are the second highest international nation, obviously the USA number one, and I'm just trying to think. But the Aussies are certainly making their mark over in the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, you've got Della Vadova right now, I think, is still on San Antonio. I hearken back always to Luke Longley, who was on the Bulls back in the championship days. But, yeah, for sure. I mean, if you go through the rosters, a lot of Australian guys, I just think that speaks to the fact that a lot of those young players come over and play college ball.
Yes.
Della Vadova, I think, went to Santa Clara maybe or somewhere up in NorCal, and it's just kind of the pipeline to get to the NBA is college basketball. So you're losing, I think, a lot of your young stars to the U.S. to go to college, and then they obviously improve and make their way to the NBA. It's pretty cool.
Patty Mills is another one, of course, and headlined by Ben Simmons, who's the superstar over there for the 76ers.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Brady, NFL continues. Interest on your take on the Panthers and 49ers game?
Yeah, so that's one of my games, guys. Mm. The Panthers, obviously, coming off a bye week, you know, it's so important these teams get rested. And the Niners, you know, the Niners keep impressing me. The defense is good. They played a really sloppy, wet game in D.C. last week against the Redskins, only beat them 9-0. I love the Panthers getting 6.5 points, though. Rested, it feels like the Niners, you know, they're obviously not going to go undefeated. And, you know, we talked about the backup quarterback coming in for Cam Newton last week. You know, this guy's undefeated in the games he's started. So I really like the Panthers getting almost a touchdown, possibly money line beating the Niners this weekend.
Wow, they're $2.90 outsiders, Carolina, $1.42, the 49ers, and that line is 5.5. So you'd like them. There's a bit of money around for Carolina at the 5.5 as well. Where does the 49ers season come from, Brady? Because this is a real surprise how well they're playing this year.
Yeah, I mean, it starts at the front office. You have John Lynch there, who was a great player in his own right for the Broncos. Really smart guy. Went to Stanford University. As all those Stanford alumni know, they love to show us how smart they are. But, no, he's doing a great job. So he bolstered their defense. They're a top-five defense in the NFL on all fronts. They rush the passer amazing. You know, their offense is nothing to write home about. Garoppolo is obviously the quarterback who came over. He was backing up Tom Brady in New England.
Yep.
But you know, not a great receiving core, not great running backs. It's just a total team effort right now. And I think they've had a few matchups that really, you know, went in their favor against, you know, teams that, you know, either dinged up on offense or defense, and the Niners have capitalized. But love Carolina this week.
All right. Okay, we'll go with that. Now, very quickly, because we've got another call coming in, but give us a tip in this World Series game for $1.90 Washington, Houston, $1.92.
Yeah, I like the Astros here tonight. It's a bullpen game. You're not seeing a marquee starter on either side. I think you'll see maybe 2 to 3 innings out of both starting pitchers, and then both teams are going to go to the bullpen and just look to get, you know, 1 to 2 solid innings from all their backups. But, you know, the Astros just have like a second grader in Altuve just ripping balls.
Yes.
It seems to be a spark plug. I like the Astros, and then I like this thing to go to 7 games.
Okay.
Wouldn't that be good?
There you go. Good on you, Brady. We'll put out those 1 from 3 last week, so a little improvement, please.
Yeah, that was the elephant in the room, Jim.
Pressure's on Brady, isn't it?
We're coming back, and glad we waited till the end to get that out there.
You know I wasn't going to let that slip through.
Good on you, Brady.
Hey, boys, great to chat. Looking forward to it next week.
Good on you, Brady.
There he is, Brady Hoyt, coming to you live from Los Angeles.
So the Astros will level it up at 2-2.
And he likes it to go to Game 7.
Wouldn't we all?
Yeah.
I love his commentary. Bloke's a spark plug. How about that? Bloke's a spark plug.
And then he really liked Carolina in the NFL as well. 1353-53 is the open line number. We are We've got Jared Daffy coming on, and he's going to be with you for the final hour, Raymond.
It's a horrible cross for poor Jared to bear.
It's very interesting in the fact that Jared's not my biggest fan, and I think that's clear to all the listeners. However, he'll be playing for me in the quiz, which is Jared.
Yes, Jimmy.
Poor Jared. Can I get an ironclad guarantee that you will be trying to the best of your ability in this quiz coming up?
It's been a whirlwind 36 hours for me since I found out that you demanded that I take over from you. I think it's because I'm a little bit subservient and perhaps we'll do what you suggest. But my main concern is, how do I know that the boys aren't going to rort the toss, as you suggest every week?
What I will put to you is this, Jared. Assume that it is rorted and then start from there.
And the other thing, too, and I'm really looking forward to this come Thursday,
yes,
is that... Well, it's documented that Kyle Sandilands gets $39,000 a show. You're a bigger shock jock than him. How long are you on for? 3 hours? A third of $39,000, $13,000? I've got some money to play with on Thursday. How good's that?
That's very good. By the way, you can invoice me for that one, and it'll be the pay on there. Okay, Jared. Well, for those people listening, Jared and Ray will be doing the show after 9 o'clock.
You're bailing.
So thank you very much for that, Jared. Do appreciate it. Just before we go to the 9 o'clock news and I get out of here, EJ is there, a caller. G'day, EJ.
G'day, Jimmy. G'day, Ray. How you going?
How are
you, EJ? I just want to put my two bobs worth in for the test match Friday night. The one thing I did like about it was the one ref. I mean, blind Freddie can see the game runs better and smoother with one ref. And as far as, like, if you could pick for your country and you choose to play for your country, I think you should stand up and sing that national anthem. I don't think it's a real good look when half the team blanket. You know, that's just my opinion. I mean, you look at all the other teams, the Kiwis, whatever, they all sing it loud and proud. I think if you put that jersey on, I think you should show it respect.
EJ, it's a really good point you make, and everyone's got an individual right to do what they like, but have you noticed the Wallabies during the World Cup this year? Each and every Wallabies player sings that national anthem with incredible gusto, EJ.
Yeah, which is sort of the point that EJ's making in saying that, and I will take the other opinion, and that is
you have the right to do
whatever.
I was just pointing out the difference, and the Wallabies, to a man, sing that national anthem like as passionately as any other team in the World Cup.
So Curtly Beale's an Indigenous player playing for the Wallabies. Latrell Mitchell is an Indigenous player playing for the Kangaroos, and he chooses not to sing.